Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I can get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
You're up next. It's 37 minutes after the hour, and you're on next. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Right, wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, by all means. The gentleman is turning his radio down, and he is rejoining us in... Are you there?
Yes, yep. I'm here.
Okay. I can still hear your radio in the background.
The what?
I can still hear your radio in the background.
Okay.
You have to turn it off.
Okay, I'll turn it off.
Okay, great. So, we have... Is it off now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great.
Yes, what is your name? I've never heard you before.
Oh, my name is Hugh. Hugh Hamilton.
Oh, that's great, because you have a lot of fans that listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, boy. Good afternoon, Talkback. It's going to be one of those afternoons, is it? I'm game for this.
The Don and Mike 2004 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4 is courtesy of Farish Jeep of Fairfax Circle, 703-273-0200 or www.thenumber4farish.com.
The Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Donna Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in this company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most poppies in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. America, 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Happy f-ing Thanksgiving from the Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi.
Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
What you don't know to fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Robbie?
Yes, Rob.
Were these guys just a dream?
Have you been dreaming again, Rob?
I had a weird dream. Ah, oh, no, come on, guys.
It's a true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith. A man of hate and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
You see,
Rob,
I got a call from Rob over the weekend. I'll ask him about
middle of the night?
Later on the show. No, it was early afternoon.
All right. It was normal time.
He had had a dream about T and I.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I am dying to hear about that.
But in the dream, I had no pitchfork.
Yeah? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Richard Vermeil and all the ships at sea. All in all,
they usually leave it up to Jackie Kennedy.
Not Geronimo.
That's
Michael.
Yeah, party.
Private show here, boys.
I've two guess. Things that nobody gets. Tell you about in a second. Listen,
not in my show.
New episode. On this Monday.
Hello, listeners.
Jackie Kennedy. Come on. All right.
Time out.
I'll tell you both.
Boys.
Very quickly.
Okay.
First, as I mentioned, Rob did have a dream.
Right.
That I was
awesome
involved.
Dream.
Involved with in his never-ending story,
right?
That and we'll get into that later in the show.
Okay.
Because he had a wacky dream, and then second. Over the weekend, Rob and I were commenting about how all of the NFL shows were running the stuff saying how the NFL didn't play during JFK's assassination.
Right.
The AFL didn't play, and the NFL did play.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that they spoke to was a legendary broadcaster. I think of him as a broadcaster first and as a football player second.
I've always known him as the greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
There you go. And I've known him as the greatest broadcaster in the history of radio
and political candidate.
But either way,
this is Sam Huff.
He answers to the name of Samuel Huff. And one of the clips that they ran had Sam Huff, who, of course, listen, hello, he was around when Jesus was a little boy.
Sure.
Right? Of course, he was there 40 years ago. And his
beard linebacker.
His comment was...
His solution for that weekend is that the decision ultimately should have been left up to Jackie Kennedy.
Yes. Ah, very good. So you see... Many times now, whenever something comes up on the show,
just leave it to Jackie. She knows what to do.
No, right. See, another one you got to say, leave it to Jackie Kennedy.
God, well, he called her Jackie.
I know, but that could be anybody. That's why I said we have to compromise on this thing. Just ask Jackie Kennedy about
Just ask Jackie Kennedy. She'll know what to do.
Very good.
She'll know it.
See, now you're laughing.
You know, sometimes I... You know what I'm doing from now on?
What's that?
You have one of those moments, so I'm not going to make you stop and explain it.
Really?
I'm going to let you two enjoy it and enjoy it.
It would have come up at some point during the show, and I would have given
you... You would have had to explain it anyway, so yeah. I guess we're... I'm glad we got the explanation.
So yeah. I guess, looking back in hindsight... Should we have done that? Should we have stopped the show there? Well, it was kind of avant-garde, but I think we'd have to ask ourselves, what would Jackie Kennedy do?
Right.
What would she? Yes, she knows to do.
Very good.
Anyway, here's our phone number.
Yes.
The national show. Yeah, I know. I find it hard to believe, too. 877-365-3636. That's the number. If you're calling from Canada, where the 877 doesn't work, you can call us at 800-636-1067.
All right.
In Washington, D.C., on our flagship WJFK, call us at 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy there, Harry.
Is anyone missing?
Hey,
what happened?
Shut up.
Did you wash the ass today?
Someone call for a doctor?
There we are. So what would... What would Jackie Kennedy have said about that?
What would
Jackie Kennedy have done?
What would she have done?
Hi, welcome to the show. Today's jam-packed. See, Mike, I wasn't ready for that. And sometimes you throw me the curveball.
At the beginning of the show?
Yeah, because I had all that stuff. We would have gotten to that in time.
Do you think you rushed it a little bit or not?
No. Well, you know, sometimes things are just...
Sometimes I think you two should be separated. You know, that's all I want to say. That's all I'm going to say on the matter. Always go to your corners. Share with the rest of the class.
Well, we did. And the thing is, today we could not get off to a slow start today, because today's one of the few days that we actually have a real show.
Very good.
Meaning that they've actually booked some guests on the show. Some guy who was in Pumping Iron... And you know that we get great guests when they announce them as some guy.
Uh-huh. Franco Colombo.
That's the guy.
Franco Colombo, one of the premier bodybuilders of his generation, right?
Anyway, the come on is he's got some direct-to-video movie, and he'll answer any questions about Arnold Schwarzenegger from the Pumping Iron days.
I'd like to know how much groping went on during competitions. I know for a fact that Franco Colombo... went to many, many competitions with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. So we got him. And then we got Kenneth C. Davis. Anybody ever heard of this guy? He's an author. Hmm. He's written this book. I'm sure if you see the cover, you'll recognize it from, like, Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
Don't Know Much About History.
Oh, yeah.
Don't Know Much About Biology. So he's a real author.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written a children's book called Don't Know Much About the Pilgrims.
Ah.
And it's quite a coup to get a guy, an author of this renown on the show.
You have two books there. You have a serious one for the adults and then one for the kiddies.
And when he's on today, he don't know.
Don't worry that he's going to be speaking with Oxbig and Latouris.
Right. And yesterday, wow, what an NFL Sunday. I have to say.
Now, are we ready to sing?
Great victory for the...
Happy birthday. Mr. Snyder.
Danny Boy.
Uh-huh.
Danny Boy, nice fourth quarter collapse by your Washington Redskins. The Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I'm just blatantly sucking ass here because...
Quite the opposite.
Yeah, they had, Rob and I go down with them last weekend to Miami. And
you brought luck.
The exciting game last week, uh-huh. Even more exciting this week. Ravens in overtime, they beat the snot out of Seattle, and today David Modell will join us to talk about that, and today's the day that we'll get into all of the weird quirks that this guy has that I discovered when we were down in Miami with the Ravens.
Yeah, something about superstitions, numbers, what have you. Cigars.
Chewing cigars, yeah,
right.
Everything else that this guy does. So today, right there, that's more than we normally have on in a week.
Right.
And we've got all of that stuff to get into, plus we've got the weekend stuff to get to. Hold on, we have someone who saw Sam Hyde. Okay, now, Mike, there will be now a third person in on the joke.
Very good.
Thank God you guys saw it, because it's been driving me nuts ever since yesterday.
You saw Sam Huff on the NFL show saying that?
Yes, we saw him on the show. We were in a bar, and we had the closed captioning on. And my buddy looks at me and goes, why would anyone care what Jack A thinks?
Well, yeah. You know, regardless, I mean, she would have some say in it. Certainly, she was, you know, the dead president's wife. But it was just, it was, anyway, never mind.
It was the fact.
Jack Hay, as in 227, Jack Hay.
I think I can figure out.
Get
it's the fact that Sam Huff said it.
Yeah.
And Sam Huff saying Jackie Kennedy.
Just that he's being
funny.
Quoted.
That's golden.
You know,
yeah.
That's, anyway.
That he's being quoted on a major, like, historical event.
Say,
therein lies the humor. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right. Saying that it was should have been Jackie Kennedy's decision.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Score one for Sam.
Sam.
But even having said all of that, and Friday was a crazy, and we've got some bits to do today that we didn't get in last week. We didn't give away the key for the Jeep. Right. Mike, the Jeep.
It's a brand new Jeep. The 2004 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4 from Ferris Jeep at Fairfax Circle. Comes equipped with high back bucket seats, anti-lock four wheels, disc brakes, spy glass, 3.7-liter PowerTech V6 engine, set of widows, cast aluminum wheels, customer preferred packages, 2CV and 26V. Oh, yeah. Yes, it's the Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4. Back to you, Don.
Thanks, Mike. That's the car we're giving away.
Right out of the chute on Monday.
2 weeks from Friday. Or 1 week from Friday. Whatever. What is it? 2 weeks from Friday? For goodness sake, this weekend it's Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks from this Friday we're giving away.
No. It's 4 weeks.
I got it right here. It's 2 weeks from Friday. We're giving away.
I think you're wrong.
And
it was June.
I know this. Hi, Charlie.
No, it's 3 weeks from last Friday.
So that would mean 2 weeks,
from this Friday, which is what I just said.
Oh.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. Charles Broyhill.
We're giving it away in 2003.
Yes, we are in calendar year 2003.
Bingo, baby.
Oh, and we didn't give away a key on Friday. So we have two keys to give away today.
Ooh.
So, you know, stay listening, because that's the new motto of the show. Well, Robbie?
Because we're desperate.
Yeah, stay listening because we're so desperate.
We're desperate.
But, Mike, here's a bit of great news that has pushed everything to the second tier for the opening of the show today.
Share it with me.
Including, we're going to call the winner for the dinner on the Mayflower thing coming up here.
Very good.
It's a great, great day. It's a really, really great day, and I'll tell you why. Mike, I don't want to say that it's a Christmas miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was something that had to happen eventually. But we've outlasted another one of the dicks who has claimed for years that we would never last. And even got it on with me, but even BM, before Mike. I'm talking, of course, about the useless deadwood at the Washington Post known as Bob Levy. Bob Levy. Now, you've heard us talk about Bob Levy before. He has issues with us.
Yes.
With our show. Yeah, Bob Levy. And many people have issues with Bob Levy. Sanctimonious Bob Levy. Mm-hmm. So this is what makes it so sweet. So I've had this thing going with him even before
right.
Mike, but he once Mike joined me, he hated Mike just as much as he hated me.
And I, in turn, turned on him.
Well, Mike, you'll be glad to know the Christmas miracle is, here's the headline in today's Washington Post. You know, he's the guy who gets the column in the back by the
comics.
By the funny papers. It says, Bob Levy's Washington. And I would think that when this column was originally thought of, whenever you got the job 23 years ago, it would be like a Dave Barry, Tony Kornheiser type take on the world.
Well, if he had any sense of humor or any appreciable talent.
Yes. And all he's ended up doing is yelling at people about not respecting traffic lights,
eating French fries on the subway.
Yeah. Hump! So, and he does the last thing before the headline, he very often, and I've gotten on him for this, he does these drives for charity.
Right.
Where he gets out of writing a column by just writing a column saying, you people aren't donating enough to charity this year.
Exactly.
So the headline in today's post above his column is, Levy's final drive for Children's Hospital. So I'm thinking, his final drive? Now I'm reading.
Okay.
Now I'm enjoying this. I'm thinking, maybe he's going to give up this BS of getting people to give money instead of writing his column.
Right. And incidentally, when you talk about that, we should mention with the operative thing being write a column that's entertaining, and then do your other things separately.
Right.
And out of your own pocket.
But Mike, here's our Christmas miracle. And I'm reading from the column today. I need to take a deep breath before I type the next paragraph. This will be my last children's campaign. I'll be retiring from the Post and the column when this campaign is over. Now, you might think right there, what's so great about that? The guy's retiring, okay? He's kind of a bug that's been around us. We've been swatting at him for 20 years. Now, what makes this great is that the company has put a luscious buyout offer on the table for its senior staff.
Yeah! They're planning him!
What that means is, guess what, Bob?
You're fired!
You're old, you're irrelevant, and we want to run a couple more comics, so get your tired ass out of the Washington Post, you sanctimonious son of a bitch!
Hallelujah!
And he can do wonderful things for the kids with that luscious buyout offer.
Yes, of course!
Now you gotta hear it. You gotta hear it all in its entirety, because it's too good. It's too good. I burst out laughing when I read it this morning. The company has put a luscious buyout offer on the table for its senior staff. I wonder how many other old people they're getting rid of who cannot function anymore in the Washington Post.
We really, you know what you got to do? You got to check exactly how old he is and check some of the other columnists that are going to be retained.
Well, let me see. After much sleeplessness, I've decided to take it.
Or leave it.
Yeah, right, Bob. Like, what? Listen, Bob, really. What are your choices?
Right.
They come to you and they say, we have a luscious buyout offer for the senior staff. Do you think that they're expecting that Bob leaving the Washington Post is going to say, give me 24 to sleep on it and think about
now,
it?
Now, may I appeal to those in the know that might have more knowledge? We have friends in the Washington Post on every level at that newspaper. Right away. We need to find out the facts here. Let's find out if he is indicating in his column, the way Bob Levy always has, when he's really not giving us all the facts, that this sounds like it's a general offer to all senior staff members. I think not.
Let me see. The company's put a luscious buyout offer on the table for its senior staff. After much sleeplessness, I've decided to take it. I'll be packing my bags... After 23 years as a daily columnist and more than 36 years at the finest newspaper on this globe, they're calling it early retirement. Well, Bob, hello, they're pushing you out the door.
Yes,
man.
They are.
But I'm not a shuffleboard kind of guy. I'm planning to find a new full-time career right away, one that keeps me involved with ideas, media, good works, and a wonderful place called Washington, D.C. Oh, eat me, Bob. But I'm not going to wave over my shoulder or tell you how much these last 23 years have meant to me until I gather one last surge of glorious dough for needy sick kids.
You're so good, Bob. You're such a good man.
Really, Bob.
And you're
really
telling us how good you are.
Yeah. If you're really so great,
Dick.
Bob, listen. And I'm going to read it verbatim. Until I gather one last surge of glorious dough.
Uh-huh.
And Bob, thanks to you, Bob Levy, these kids will get the money. Not thanks to the people that are giving the money.
No, not at all.
And the fact that even now, after you've been fired because you're useless and old, you go on the old crutch, dude. You can't even write columns for the next 2 weeks. You've got to sum it up the way your whole friggin' Washington Post career has been summed up. A column for morons, read by morons. You sanctimonious dick.
Boy, he spins, doesn't he? He is the spin meister.
Who's laughing now, Bobby? 20 years later, who's laughing now since you wrote the first awful thing about me in the newspaper?
There you go, Bob.
About how Washington, D.C. could not tolerate such a radio show. And then all the bad things you wrote about me and Mike, and the most recent one, when you wrote that our listeners are retards. He wrote that in his online chat.
I remember.
Bob Levy.
F you, Bob.
There you go.
Bob, I might not be the youngest guy in my game, but I got me a nice long-term deal.
Bob Levy.
And Bob, I guarantee you, Infinity Broadcasting will never come to me with a luscious buyout offer on the table for its senior staff.
Oh, no way.
How great is that? So, hey, ding dong, the witch is dead.
Bye-bye, Bob. Bye-bye then.
Now, this is...
Boy, he was a meanie.
Yeah.
This is where we're going to have to ask for someone to step up and help us.
Yeah, please.
Not because we give a rat's ass about charity, but because we're cheap. what we'd like to do is send over a wreath of flowers. You know the type I'm thinking about, like in Las Vegas.
A funereal, you know, a little funeral wreath.
Right, and we'd like it to say, by then.
Right. By then, Bob, / Don and Mike.
In flowers.
Right.
If possible, written out. Like,
bye-bye, then.
All right.
Bye-bye, then, Bob.
Bye-bye, then. You know, maybe with the giant horseshoe. Like
like in the Kentucky, old Godfather movie.
Yeah, right. The Kentucky Derby.
It's made like with, a funeral wreath.
And anyway, it would be great to have it made up and sent to the post, all done in flowers, as long as we didn't have to pay for it. So if there's a florist out there that would like to take the time and the trouble and would like some free advertising, give us a call.
We'd love to get that over to him as soon as possible.
Right here. But anyway, there you go. Bob Levy proved useless by society and kicked out on the front porch by your Washington Post.
I would urge the Post to put something in there entertaining. I'd like to read it. And not a comic. I'd like to see a better, stronger, more intelligent columnist.
Good writing, yeah.
A luscious buyout offer on the table for its senior staff. Right, I've decided.
I'd like to find out seriously how many senior staff members were given the same offer.
Right. I decided to take it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like there was a choice.
And the thing that tells the whole story is you're reading that off of a piece of paper, you know, out of the newspaper, and I'm looking at the back side of that paper where I see the crossword puzzle.
Yo, Bob, this is People's Republic of China. You wish to save face? You try to save face with Karam? Because, in fact, you fired, Bob. You get fired, Bob Levy. You just save face. Rush is buyout off a bar.
You have to face things. This is one reason that Japan is taking over the world. We face things. Every day our executives get together, like in the movie Gung Ho, and I yell at them and tell them, you are not making enough automobiles. Now we will all do jumping jacks together.
Please to accept our Rush's buyout offer. You are technically you are fired, Bobby.
We do not believe you. We do not bereave you.
We are excited that you are going out to Pasha.
You have brought great dishonor to the Levy name.
You have taken pot shots at Don and Mike for a number of years, Bob Levy. Now, you receive Russia's buyout offer when technically they have no use for you, newspaper boy.
Say goodbye to all of your friends. You know who I'm talking about. Samurai Circus, Beto Berry,
all the big comic books,
Brandy,
comic strip, Bobby V,
Beto Braley,
please enjoy Russia's buyout offer,
Clean Nuts,
Andy Cop,
Jumbo,
that's what you can't really say in Japanese,
that's it, right, how close is he to a horoscope?
Horoscope. 2-3 pages up. Horoscope further up by TV ristings.
Bob, we kick you out door, but give you opportunity to save face and say you receive Russia's buyout.
Bob.
Ta-ta for now. Bye-bye then, Bob.
Enjoy the flowers.
Enjoy the flowers, the funeral wreath we sent to you.
Think about this, Bob. While you go off to your Russia's retirement.
Right.
That was your choice. We will continue. I mean, we... Now, how do you do the Japanese? We is
just we.
We is like...
We continue, yeah. Bobby Reed.
Hi. How are you? Hi.
Don't the Tony Kornheiser count as a senior staff, too? I bet he don't receive a Russia's buyout. They want to keep him.
And what about Thomas Broswell? Huh? He still writes for paper.
That's all right, Bob.
Hey, Bobby.
Bob, it's not matter if you're syndicated columnist, but we know you're only in D.C.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Rushy's buyout my ass.
Hey, Joe.
You just tried to save a face.
That is not looked upon well in Levy family. Levy's family shall be shamed for life.
You're a big, long-term enemy of Don and Mike Show. So we fill ourselves with great joy. Upon demise of Bob Levy from a post.
Now get out!
One rest airhole to write bad things about us.
Get out before I pull out my ninja stars and toss them at you samurai style.
So you read a Levy chicken neck. Bye-bye, Bob.
So there he is. Yeah, we need the flowers.
Bye-bye then, Don and Mike.
Bye-bye then, Don and Mike. Deliver to the Washington Post.
That'd be great.
Fantastic. And that's just one hemorrhoid off our ass. The collective Don and Mike ass is one pimple cleaner today.
Delightful.
There's one clean spot now on our ass. I mean, other than that, it's festers and boils. And
yes, all the other problems we have.
All the things that it looks like when you're looking at one of those NASA photographs of Mars where you see the little explosions on the planet.
Yes.
It's kind of like what our asses look like. But right now, in the middle of all of that, there's some prime real estate.
There are any explosions on Mars. You're talking about the sun.
Okay, well, Mars...
Solar flare. You receive a solar flare. Interfere with cell phone.
Oh, solar flare.
Oh, come on now. Hey. Yes, hey, Don and Mike, we don't receive luscious buyout offers. Luscious.
Hey, Bob. How are you going to be spend your day now, huh, Bob?
What you do?
Yeah, your schedule. Wake up, try to take bowel movement.
Hey, Bob, you get in line to employ for employment at Supermarket Tabloid.
You sit on toilet. Nothing come out. Get so angry at toilet. Then go downstairs, look at newspaper, realize not be in newspaper. For many more days.
We are filled with great joy to celebrate the demise of big-time enemy of Don and Mike's show.
Uh-huh. Then you go back upstairs, sit on toilet again. Oh, nothing come out. So frustrated.
You try to save a face. We know truth, Bobby. We know the fact. They're easing you out, Joe. No gold watch for you.
Bob, let's be honest. Haven't you thought, since this Russia's riot, about a nice... cool gun. How you thought about it, Bob?
Bob!
How would it taste?
Art Buchwald.
In your mouth.
Art Buchwald was a senior staff member. He died for 70 years.
My dad is an excellent one.
Yeah, long time a staff member.
He's very old.
Matson, William F. Buckley. He died for millions of years of Bob Reeve.
Not Bob Reeve.
No, they say... oh, no eat French fries on Subway. Just not thick enough, Bobby. Here is Russia's buyout offer for you.
Now you take it.
You take it. You go now.
No trouble. Or we call your uncle and aunt.
You will go to see your auntie, okay? You go now, no trouble.
Oh, so much shame to Bob Reeve home. He arrived home tonight. Wife afraid to show her face.
She very sad.
Oh, Bob, I am sad to be Mrs. Bob Reeve. You brought great shame to our family.
Hey, Bob, one more column. You explain terms of Russia's buyout offer. You let us know how Russians eat Lily Eve.
And also, Bob, tell us all of the other people at the post who were fired, just like you were.
We like to know. We like to know the greenhouse. All senior staff, the way you write it, or maybe only senior staff member Bob Reeve.
And Bob, what is that joke? I forget it now, but the punchline is, it depends. There's so many jokes, but the punchline is always, it depends.
Plenty of time to stay home, play Chinese checkers, Bob Reeve.
Order in Chinese food.
Yeah, you have a good time.
Listen to Don and Mike show. Put your pin in Don and Mike doll.
Please to accept Russia's buyout offer. You go now, no trouble.
You clean out your office today.
Clean out Raqqa.
Here you go now.
Now, we give your desk to someone with much more talent.
Someone younger.
Younger, more vital.
What if the younger person...
what if the younger person is like 20 years older than he is?
Like Thomas Boswell.
Oh, hello, is this my desk?
Yeah, I thought they were giving it to a younger one. No. I thought it was senior staff. No, Bob.
What if everybody at the post actually started talking to him like that?
What if, he's the kind of guy,
Bob!
Based on what I hear about him, what I know about him, he's probably the kind of guy where there are probably a few people high-fiving over at the post.
Oh, I think so.
Because I think he's sanctimonious. I think he's preachy. And people don't like preachy.
No.
Hey, Bob, what are you going to do now? I got news for you, Jack. When I go home tonight, I make right-hand turn on red whenever I feel like it. And then I go in the subway and I have McDonald's french fries.
You oversimplified Dullard.
You are Dullard, Bob. You go now, please. No trouble here. Russia's by our offer.
Here it is right here. It is Russia's. No need to look at it, though. Don't even open envelope. It's Russia's.
Hold on a second. Getting telepathy vision.
What?
Oh,
what do you see for Bob Reeve?
I see Russia's buyout of a 2 week salary. 2 week salary. There you go.
You take up woodworking, Bob Reeve. Maybe you build your own casket.
Hold on. I'm getting something, too.
Okay.
That perhaps instead of Russia's buyout, the actual words are, or savanspay, savanspay.
How about a semi-generous severance package?
That's what it is.
How about you take what we give you and get your ass out of here?
Russia's buyout? Not even proper term. You buy out when you own a business. You know, buy out when you employee. You get severance pay. Because you're fired.
It depends. Now, get this old man out of my office now. Hello, Washington Post.
Pardon us. We're having fun.
You're a bit gleeful.
We are.
Yeah.
Boy, he was tough.
He was not a nice
man. And, you know, for a while he had a radio show, you know, which was.
Really?
And that was part of his whole thing. How hard can this be? Well, Bob, you found out how hard it was. Uh-huh. You lasted, what, I think like he was on two or three stations briefly.
And he was preachy on his radio show.
Shocking.
You know, one of these guys that has it all figured out. And, you know, the bottom line is when you write a column like that, try to entertain people. There was nothing entertaining about it.
Bob, here's what you could have written. You could have said, to my royal listeners, time has finally caught up with valiant soldier Bob Reeve. I have been fired dishonorably by the Washington Post.
Oh, look, in my hand, copy of Russia's buyout offer. Here it is. 2 year subscription to a Post, not include Sunday.
You know, it's good. When you do this, you know that there are people down there that work with the guy that are digging this.
Bob, what are you going to do now when you hear something on Don and Mike's show you listen to all the time? What you can do, you hear something, you get so mad about it, you can no longer write about it in the newspaper next to Dennis the Menace.
Bob Reedy, you hope against hope, Don and Mike, no discover your little column today. We have spies everywhere.
But Bob, you have to put it in paper to save face.
Save face. No go on Don and Mike show. No chance. Hey, Joe.
Save face with your Russia's buyout.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, see, right there's some good news.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we played the tape before. Let me just try and say it again to Bob Levy.
Happy f-ing Thanksgiving.
Very good.
From the Don and Mike show.
There you go. Yeah, Charlie Broyhill, he producer, going to tell me, pray commercial now.
Oh, come on now. You go now. You go to break. No trouble.
I don't want to pray commercial, but I have been offered Russia's buyout.
Oh, that's right. Russia's buyout is we have to pay right there.
To stop, show, and take one more call who has joke. Hello?
Hello?
What is the, come on, what is the joke about? It depends.
Does Bob Levy wear boxes or briefs?
I don't know.
Depends.
It depends.
Depends, yeah. There you go. Thank you. Hey, listen. You get a prize. What's your name?
Sam.
Sam, where are you from?
Colombia.
Sam, all traditional Chinese dinner for two at Outback Steakhouse. There's somebody for everyone at Outback Steakhouse. What do you like at Outback Steakhouse, Mike?
I like a big filet mignon with just a little duck sauce.
I like Bruin Runyon.
Wow.
Bruin Onion. Ooh. Bob Reeve no afford Bruin Onion.
No.
Oh, yeah. He eat a baroni sandwiches.
For less of life.
Bye-bye, Bob.
Russia's buyout.
Russia's buyout offer.
Thank you, my friend. Hold on a second. You know, we've got to announce the winner of this dinner on the Mayflower contest.
Yeah, very good.
At the weekend, we got too much. We'll be right back, everybody. Oh, Robbie.
How's it going?
Oh, Robbie. That tape was giving me a Russia's buyout.
Look, I hit it again.
You know what?
What is wrong?
You know, maybe we get Russia's buyout offer, too.
I think the tension's wrong.
I have dream about this, Rob.
It's a real 1970 technology.
In my dream, I'm thinking that I press the button, nothing happens. I think, what would Jackie Kennedy do? What would Jackie Kennedy want to do?
Ask Bob Reeve.
Look, I just hit it again, Rob. Really, there's no funny way to get out of this. But I've tried to hit this button about five times. Why do you keep trying to fix it? You think it'll work?
Yes.
See, it didn't work.
Froze up again.
Take that one out. Throw this one away.
No, that's a good one.
No, no, just give me a new one. There you go. Thank you, boy. We'll be right back. Be a deer and push this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show.
My recital. I think it's very vital. To rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
Here we go.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mungoos.
Happy f***ing Thanksgiving from the Don and Mike Show.
It's tricky.
It's tricky.
It's tricky. Got some weekend stuff to tell you about. Christmas stuff already getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
We've got to do this right now here. We've got to do this Thanksgiving thing because we have our Thanksgiving show on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a very big show.
Dinner on the Mayflower. On the actual Mayflower, on a Mayflower moving van. Thanks again to Joe Mulholland Mayflower. Call Joe Mulholland Mayflower for a free quote, 703-494-2021. So the deal is, you've heard us talk about this on Wednesday, I'm sorry. This is one of those weeks.
Yeah, it's a partial week.
Where, you know, everybody feels this way. It's Monday, mm-hmm. but you know that it's really only a three-day week. It's a very weird week.
I'm going to warn our listeners. It's a weird week. If you remember this, it's always been a weird week,
mm-hmm.
and they get weirder and weirder as we get to the heaviest travel day of the year.
Not to be confused with the heaviest shopping day of the year. Right. And if you notice now that we've dropped that irritating thing, at least leading up to,
yeah.
of saying it together.
It's a crutch. We'll do it again.
I like it. We'll do it on Wednesday. You bet your ass we will.
Good.
So we're having a real Mayflower moving van here, because, as you know, the pilgrims came here on a Mayflower moving van.
Right.
That's how they originally got to America.
Well, it's tricked up. To be a submarine.
It was amphibious.
It was. It could actually submerge, and then it could actually go above ground.
It looked like the Beatles' Yellow Submarine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looked like.
It's
you know that crazy thing?
Yeah, yeah, there were pilgrims and blue meanies.
So the deal is that you're going to have dinner on the Mayflower, and the meal for your family is courtesy of, and catered by, and will be served by the women of the Crystal City Restaurant. See them just as you would see them on stage.
It's a real treat for our winning family.
Mm-hmm. So basically you have semi-nude, close-to-nude girls serving food, and you're having your Thanksgiving meal the day before on the radio
right.
in a Mayflower moving van down in our parking garage. Winning family receives $500. We ask you to send in your emails, and thank you for all of them. We put this up on WJFK.com for, I think, one day for 24 hours.
And you voted on it.
You did. We got over 15,900 votes
wow.
in 24 hours. And we do have, according to you, a winner.
Very good.
Wow. And this person's family, we'll call them here in a moment, and then this person will join us on the show with their family. Now, again, the choices that we gave you were as follows. Bob, his parents always fight, and his dad ruins every holiday. And his grandfather is a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, seventh grade algebra teacher who used Don and Mike in an extra credit question.
That was clever.
Deborah, her daughter was pregnant by a black man while she was pregnant by her married boss. Her dad called the grandchild a niglet. That's what she wrote in the letter.
Right.
Ginger, her family is like Ozzy and Harriet, while her husband is like Ozzy Osbourne. His father is a member of the KKK, and when they got married, they had gay friends that were their maids of honor.
All right.
Patrick, his fiance is a blonde Jew. Again, I'm just going from it's the letters.
A tremendously significant racial content in these in these applications.
Mm-hmm. Except for the last guy. Anyway, Patrick, his fiance is a blonde Jew with a degree in forestry. Her parents are typical New York Jews. Her mother calls every day. He doesn't have enough pillows for his mother to come visit. Their parents have never met. And then finally, Tim had a heart condition, was in a coma, and has had more than one open heart surgery.
Very good.
Those were your choices. And you have
Not unanimously, but you have selected a winner. You have selected a winner by a 7% margin.
So it was a horse race.
Coming in fifth place with only 390 votes. Bob, his parents always fight, and his dad ruins every holiday, and his grandfather is a racist.
All right.
Again, just you guys voted on the internet. We didn't. Coming in second place. Dan, the seventh grade algebra teacher who used Don and Mike as an extra credit question. 1,420 votes.
Excuse me.
Coming in third place, Ginger. Her family's like Ozzy and Harriet. Her husband is like Ozzy. His father is a member of the KKK, and the gay pals were the maids of honor.
Mm-hmm.
1,610 votes. Now it gets very close as we get to the top three. Tim, the guy with the heart condition, was in a coma and had more than one open heart surgery. 3,390 votes. Third place. Second place with 3,710 votes. Patrick. His fiance is a blonde Jew with a degree in forestry. Parents are typical New York Jews. Mother calls every day. Doesn't have enough pillows for his mother to come visit. Their parents have never met. But that was not the one that you guys selected.
Who did they select on?
Your voting showed our winner with 4,760 votes.
Deborah.
Deborah. Her daughter was pregnant by a black man while she was pregnant by her married boss. Her dad called the grandchild. That is our winning family.
Wow.
Well then.
Let's call her. Let's.
Well then, hey.
Let's call her. I am just floored you guys voted.
I'm so surprised.
Me too. Our listeners?
Yep. 369.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, would you be a dear?
Hi, Don.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Rob.
There you go. There's Rob.
Hi,
with
Mike.
Deborah, this is the winner. She'll be here with her family. We'll find out all the details of her family. Let me see if I can go through.
Now, do we have a runner-up in case Deborah cannot fulfill her obligations?
That would be the second place vote-getter, which is Patrick. His fiance is a blonde Jew with a degree in forestry. And I like this one because the in-laws have never met.
Yes, they would be meeting for the first time on the Mayflower. But Deborah is our winner with her dysfunctional family.
Having any luck, Rob?
Not a lot.
Not a lot?
No, she's not home.
All right. Hold on. I'll dial up her cell. Give me a second. Very good. Hold on. Start for the
five. Seems like the family has a great deal of angst. And, you know, maybe we can do some good here.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
You don't think so, Rob?
Yeah. Right. We can do some good here.
Hi, Deborah. It's Rob from the Don and Mike Show.
Here we go.
If you could go on the air, would you go on the air? All right, hold on. There she is.
All right, here she is, everybody.
Very good.
Your official winner of the dinner on the Mayflower. Here is Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you all?
Hi there. Now, just so you remember, here is the original entry that we received from Deborah via the email. Hello, BM Eaters. My son is a hermaphrodite, raped himself, had an abortion, and committed suicide. My mother is a whore. The reason we desperately need... Now, that's a good opening in any letter.
Yeah.
That's a good opening in any...
It's an eye-opener.
That's a good opening for the first article. The first sentence in an article.
Can't wait to ask about
news
that.
Or fiction, that's a good opening line in a personal card.
Yes.
Is your son actually a hermaphrodite who raped himself, had an abortion, and committed suicide?
No, that was just my opening line.
Yeah,
get
clever.
Your attention.
Clever opening line, Deborah.
Thank
all right,
you.
All right, so tell me when we get to the true part.
Okay.
Is your mother a whore?
No.
All right. The reason you desperately need to have Thanksgiving on the Mayflower is because, and I'm going to go right to your email.
Okay.
My daughter and I, her mom, were pregnant at the same time. Her with a black man, me with my married boss's child.
That's true.
So you're both pregnant at the same time?
Uh-huh. Yes.
My 75-year-old father has had quadruple bypass surgery this year. He is a racist, a type A personality, and called his grandson a niglet when he was born. True?
True.
Will he be joining us?
Yes, he will be.
Okay. Very good. Okay. You get along with him?
Yes, I do. Now, I do.
Three. My son-in-law, who married, you know, has three moms.
Okay? That's true.
The son-in-law who married your daughter has three mothers. One, his biological mother in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Two, his stepmother from Virginia and his grandmother. His mom gave him up at two. He lived with his grandma for 5 years, lived with his stepmom for 5 years, and then lived with his grandmother for 7 years. He doesn't know who to dance with at the wedding during the mother's dance.
Very good.
Is all that true?
True.
My 75-year-old mother blames everything on her age. No one can stand being around her for more than 10 minutes. Her breath smells like BM. You wrote this about your mother, true?
Very true.
She's coming too?
I got to call her.
Okay.
And my son, Chris, this is the one that got my attention.
He's 21.
Ah, 21. Just under the wire.
Yes.
He treats his girlfriend like S, but she must like it because she's still with him. Now, what's up with that? How does he treat her like us?
He just is always telling her that he's going to go out on her if she doesn't do something for him, and he's going to have affairs, and she's just sticking with him.
And you don't like that?
I think he's rude to her, and I really like her.
All right, then you have Chris and Gary, son-in-law. Now, you have two people here, Chris and Gary, but you write son-in-law. Which is your son-in-law? Oh, hold on.
Chris is
Gary's your son, and Gary's the son-in-law. Okay.
Yes.
They're thinking of starting a website where you can order a girl to your specifications to see her have sex on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
The girl stripper hired for the bachelor party sucked. She was a butterface. Everything was nice except her face.
Butterface.
Mm-hmm.
We are a screwed-up family, but God, we all love each other because no one else does. We need this quality time together, and the boys want to see some real boobs.
So, Deborah, it sounds to me like you all accept each other in spite of your faults.
Yes, we have to, because nobody else does.
All right, then, Deborah.
Yeah?
When you're down here Wednesday, at this moment, who will be joining from your family?
How many people?
Let's get the count going.
All right, Dad.
Dad?
Gary, Chris.
Gary's the son, Chris is the son-in-law.
No, Chris's son, Gary's son-in-law.
Oh, all right, that's right. Cause...
practicing.
Okay.
Oh, that's terrific.
He was a little bit mad at me at first, but now he's just practicing.
About sharing that intimate family moment?
One of those drinking intimate, yeah.
All
right, now, so that's three. Who else is coming? What about
Jennifer.
And Jennifer is your daughter?
My daughter.
Your daughter.
Becky.
And who's that?
Chris's girlfriend.
Becky. What about your mom, whose breath smells like BM?
I'm going to have to ask her. She probably will come.
Okay.
And my dad.
And your dad. Oh, the racist.
Yes.
Now, is the you said that your daughter was pregnant by a black man. Is that the man she eventually married?
No, thank God, no.
Why thank God, no?
Because he's he went down the wrong path of life.
Okay, so he's been in some kind of trouble?
With the law, yes. I don't like him at all.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think you've picked the winning family. Absolutely. We're going to have
it's a WT Thanksgiving.
I'm going to have to go to the Manassas Yankee store to buy my dress.
Now, anybody else? Did you think?
There's quite a few people from my work that want to come.
Well, it's really for family only.
Well, I can get them to be related to me.
No, it's really for family only, Deborah.
You can't expect anything but trouble here.
Okay.
I know that, but it just should be for your family, not for your friends.
We have eight now, counting Deborah.
Okay, so it's eight counting Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, then that's what we'll work with. You can have up to 20, but they got to be members of your family. Can't be like people who just want to come and be on the show and have a goof.
Okay.
What we really want is...
Do you normally on Thanksgiving all get together for a happy...
Yep. And I usually cook, so now I don't have to cook.
What we're going to do is get you guys set up down there in the Mayflower van on Wednesday and have the girls in there sharing the food, and we're going to have the entire thing. We have heaters, and we'll have lights, and we'll have microphones. And then after a while, it'll almost be like Big Brother because, let's be honest, we don't want to be with your family at Thanksgiving.
No.
Look at the things you've written about these people. But we're going to allow you to have the experience. We'll just be eavesdropping.
Right.
Okay, that's fine.
On your experience.
That's fine.
And we look forward to meeting you. And let's see, there's the daughter, there's the dad, the BM mom, the son-in-law, the daughter, the who am I forgetting, Buzz?
I didn't write down the name.
Deborah, at Thanksgiving, who normally brings the jug?
Well, it depends. Usually we buy our own and just bring it and share it.
Okay. There you go. Well, my advice is we go for that box of wine. Box of wine.
A delicious, tasty box of wine.
I want some of the absinthe.
The absinthe? Yes, everybody's talking about that.
Sure. Right, everybody does.
Well, play your cards right, Deborah. Congratulations. Hold
thank
on.
Thank you.
Charlie needs to talk to you.
Okay, thank you.
We'll see you and your family on Wednesday.
Thank you, Radio God.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you.
That just
you.
Brought something to mind. Buzz, did you partake over the weekend?
No, I didn't. Okay. We had plenty of fun last week. I liked it a lot. I'm ready to dive in again, but need a short break.
And it leads me to another question that I would have. I would be like maybe halfway through the show on Wednesday. I was just curious whether... You know, you'd made a comment that you might.
I might. Okay. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
I might. I just might. Especially with her family. I might.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We all might need that.
I really might. So thank you, everybody, for entering. Thank you for the thousands of people that voted online.
I certainly hope that we can get maybe a dancer from some minority group
and
to create a better climate of understanding among the family members. It seems to me to be a racially charged situation.
Mike, it would be nice to go all chocolate.
Yeah, it would be
great to have all black dancers.
We ought to see if we can do that.
That would be great.
Or as Dad would say, all niglets.
Mm-hmm. We really ought to see if we can maybe make those arrangements.
So she writes, that's what's great about this show. The lady writes the letter. Yeah. I'm assuming that she's on the level about all these people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we'll be meeting them on Wednesday.
Can't wait.
On the heaviest travel day of the year. The day when we have the biggest captive audience that we ever have on the show.
That's right.
It's always the day.
We are going to be entertaining the Clampets.
Fantastic. Here's one of the sore losers, Dan the Teacher.
Oh. Hey, Donna Mike.
Hi, Dan the Teacher.
Yeah, I can't. Sorry, I can't compete with her for comedic value, but I was curious if you guys wanted to hear my question and some of the answers my kids gave me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I based it on when you were playing the Adam Sandler song, and the question says, I gave it as a bonus, it says, in response to some radio stations playing Christmas music 24 hours a day until Christmas, Don Mike Show started playing Thanksgiving music all during a show. Unfortunately, the only Thanksgiving music that exists is Adam Sandler's Thanksgiving song.
Hold on, here it is.
It had to be played over and over.
And you should know we've been playing this in the background. We've had the machine going for the entire hour that we've been on the air.
It's been running continuously.
Just not thought to turn it up until right now. Anyway, Dan, go ahead.
Well, the facts that I gave him, I said the Don and Mike Show is on from 3 to 7 every day, Monday through Friday. There are 6 more shows before Thanksgiving. That was back on the day you started playing it.
Right.
And the Adam Sandler song is 3 minutes and 20 seconds long. I made up this part. I took a little license. I said Adam Sandler receives a royalty of $10.75 the song is played.
I think I read all this in your entry.
Right.
Yeah, then my question was, if this starts today, Thursday, November 20th, on what date will Adam Sandler earn $1 million from these royalties?
Hold on, I already read the answer.
Okay.
I read it when you sent it in originally.
No, I mean, I think he's going to give us the wrong answers.
Your kids wrote some amusing answers?
Oh, all right. Okay. I didn't know we were doing this. Okay, I got it.
So we got some great answers, like next week and then Christmas, and we got some answers, like on Saturday, of course not factoring in that it's Monday through Friday. But ironically, the answer was November 1st, 2008, which is sometime around when I think your contract ends up.
Hey, that's so you were really using your thinking cap.
Very true.
Well, I took $1 million and worked it backwards that way.
Very good.
All right, well, thank you, guys. Love you, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Better luck next year.
Thanks, Dan. They actually let you be around kids. How old are the kids that they allow you to teach?
These are 6th, 7th, 8th graders, and I'm telling them to wait a few years before they ask what station your show is on.
All right, Dan. All right, thank you, Teacher Dan.
Good
thank
teacher.
You, guys. Love you.
See you later. Thanks, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Get back to faxing those jokes to Jay Leno. Don and Mike. Hello.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, my friend.
Don, I was at the game last night. And I want to
hold on. Wait, we broadcast in many cities. Which game?
The Miami Redskins game.
You were down in Miami?
Yes, sir. I was a outstanding diehard Redskins fan. Uh-huh. And I want to say, Danny, thank you very effing much
for just running my beloved skin into the ground.
There's a lot of anger.
You short son of a beat. I tell you what, Danny Snyder, boy, this is what you can do.
Obviously. He's very upset, as many fans are.
He's not as thrilled as the rest of us at flagship station WJFKR that the Washington Redskins collapsed last night in the fourth quarter. And how could they collapse when they were playing a team with gayer uniforms than the original Tampa Bay Bucs?
I have a question for you. Will there be a suicidal sports announcer coming in tonight on our local station here, WJFK?
Oh, you know, there's this guy, Larry Michael. He's a good friend of ours.
I've had it.
You know, we play the tape of Larry.
How about this lame-ass analysis?
There he is.
We're going to have an on-air suicide tonight.
Here's the thing. Larry comes in every week, and we make jokes because Larry's approach is always, am I the only one that thinks this season's not over?
It could happen.
Am I the only one that thinks we could run the table?
Yeah.
Well, now that he's got to, listen, I know Larry. I have known him for 10 years.
Yeah. You did the pregame with him, your first pregame show.
And Larry just is too much of a pro. Larry won't come on the air and tell you what he really thinks.
Right. But he's angry, isn't he? I mean,
yeah.
He is really, really angry.
He's got to be.
No matter what he says on the show, and this is a little tip for anybody listening, he's mad.
And part of the reason that he's angry is that he knows that the team blows, and he can't get on the air and say that the team blows because he wants a job broadcasting for the team.
Exactly, Don.
So he's got to be very careful.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who thought, wow, fate has dealt an unlikely blow to the Redskins. A simple punt to be fielded. But no, he dropped it.
What a game.
Wow.
God.
But an even better game, Mike. And I guess you're not. And I, you know, I watched them all.
Right.
I loved them all. And of the Green Bay game, I was just sad it didn't snow yesterday at Lambeau instead of all the rain. I watched all of our cities, all of our teams. I watched all your games. I watched the Raider game. Watched the Buffalo-Indianapolis game. But without question, even take out the free trip to Miami last week with the Ravens, the best game was the Ravens game.
What a comeback. A 17-point comeback?
Yeah.
Wow.
And there was a point during the TV broadcast when the Ravens were so out of it that the guys on TV started doing the credits
right.
of the people who worked behind the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And they were
the executive producer.
They were so desperate to fill time that they got all the way down to, they named every individual cameraman.
Right.
And had the shots of the camera guys
waving
on TV.
Wow. Holiday greeting.
And then they said, we want to thank our stat guy. We want to thank the guy that runs out to the truck and gets the stuff. And we want to thank Joe Blow, mm-hmm. who puts the stats up in our Fox box.
Wow.
And, I mean, they were just turning over the box and saying, this is it. We've got nothing left. This game sucks. We're filling time. And all of a sudden, boom, here come your Baltimore Ravens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here they come. And boom, in overtime.
Yeah, that was a good victory. We'll talk to Dave Modell about that.
Good.
I guess he was in the playing all the right numbers or standing in the right part of the field. And
we'll find
you really haven't gotten in depth into his superstition.
No, we've not, and I will today.
Good.
And
good.
I
wonder if he'll be superstitious about you discussing his superstition.
Now, here's the thing. I'm going to toss this out to him. Even though the Ravens lost in Miami 2 weeks ago,
right.
I believe that was a turning moment for this team.
Because you went down to Miami with the team?
That's right.
Even though they I think there's credibility in that. I think even though they lost when you were on the field,
it was, Mike, a moral victory. It brought the team together.
Yeah, I think what the real story was your incredible pep talk when you came back from Miami. And I think if you were to come back from Cincinnati or some other AFC city,
I'd go to Cincinnati. I'll go to Cleveland. You know, the Modells are not, listen, I don't think Art Modell's been in Cleveland since he moved the team.
Right.
I'll go. Mm-hmm. I'll wear the sign. I'll probably wear the sign on my back says Baltimore.
Why don't you get a jacket made, custom made, silkscreen on the back? I'm a Modell man. And wear that to Cleveland. That could be fun.
I'd have to ask Jackie Kennedy for it.
Yeah.
Because something tells me I might suffer the same fate. As, you know,
I'm a Modell maniac.
John F. Anyway, we got a break, so that's coming up. And if you have kids now, we're going to have a hard time getting all this in today.
Mm.
But I just want to tease something for the kids. We do a show for adults. But if your kids like the Cat in the Hat,
Stay tuned.
That's all I want to tell you.
I went to see it with my kids this weekend, and they absolutely loved it.
And I've not even told you yet about the weekend.
And they woke me up.
Not told you about the weekend. We've not given away the Jeep keys. I'm told about Rob's dream about me.
Yes.
We've got tons of show and more stuff to do. So, but we have a lovely buyout right now. A luscious buyout offer. And that says go to commercials.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I think socks had something to do with that decision.
It's not funny.
I beg your pardon?
What word do you have trouble with? You understand not? That's comfortable for you?
Yeah.
And funny, you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this doesn't work. You see, I think socks had something to do with that decision. See, now I'm laughing.
Well, laugh loud so you can cover for the rest of us.
Hey, you like your job?
No.
Well, watch it. Let me go.
Oh, may I? Thank you. Come on, sir.
Watch it, asshole.
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Being a pilgrim totally sucks ass.
They are old and pathetic. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Oh, I love me the beach man any time of year. Dave Modell on the phone?
Yeah.
David.
Hey.
Dave Modell, president of your Baltimore Ravens. Hi, Dave.
How are we doing, guys?
Listen, what a victory yesterday. The only thing that I was thinking as I was sitting watching it was, why wasn't I standing there next to you on the sideline?
because you've only opted to travel with us on the road, not come to M&T Bank Stadium to see a game.
All right, well, then I'll ask. I know it's a home game this weekend for you, right?
Yeah,
and you know that I'm a season ticket holder for the Redskins, and the Redskins have a game as well at home this weekend against New Orleans. But I'd gladly burn those tickets on the air if you would allow me to grace your sidelines again.
Okay, well, I'm not going to get involved with the burning of tickets.
Okay, well,
you have a standing invitation.
Well,
to our games when you choose.
Well, Dave, I think that I was just saying this on the air that the team turned a corner in Miami when I was with you, because I know you're a superstitious guy.
Yeah, slightly.
Now I don't know what you heard about what I talked about on the trip down to Miami with the Ravens a couple weeks ago.
Well, I know that Ethan Brooks is very upset with you.
Ah, there you go.
And Ethan Brooks is a very, very large man.
Yeah.
Large PJs or not, he's a large man.
He heard all of it. Well, I tried to get across the fact of what a great time I had and what an unexpected treat it was and a surprise. And I didn't on purpose talk about what a nut you are. Like, with the whole seven thing, David's got a thing about the number seven.
Mm-hmm.
And standing on the sidelines in the same spot during a game and the chewing.
Now, wait a minute. How comfortable is Dave Modell in talking?
Yeah.
You know, because usually when you have superstitions,
here's what I'm leading up.
You don't want to keep them to yourself.
I'm comfortable.
Okay.
So did you use the same superstitions yesterday when the Ravens won in overtime as opposed to the week before when they lost in overtime?
Well, I believe that superstitions are a long-term thing, so yes, I use them all the time.
Hmm. Would you be willing to share with us what, in your opinion, is your wackiest superstition?
The wackiest superstition?
Yeah, the one that you would perceive is
Robin,
the most awkward.
Robin, I know what it is. We mentioned it with your fine lady getting wasted the night before the game in the room.
because
he doesn't leave his room on the night before a game.
It's the bong in the room.
Yeah, the bong.
Okay, now the commissioner is listening to this, I'm sure. the commissioner is not listening to Don and Mike, and he needs to know we're just kidding.
Just kidding.
I have a bong. I'm willing to do a drug test. I don't do
very that. Good. No problem.
Other people shouldn't do drugs, especially you two, because it's not doing wonders for you.
No. the deal with this guy is, another one of his crazy superstitions, is that when they get to a city, and I don't know what a team president would do anyway on a game night, probably go out and hobnob and meet, other people.
Right.
He locks himself in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just assuming he gets wasted. Now
I don't leave. I watch a movie, eat dinner, and go to sleep.
Mm.
And
it's a very exciting world that I exist in.
Do you do that, Dave, because you really don't think you'd be really good company or functional around other people the night before a game?
Oh no, I'd be wonderful company.
you choose not to go out there.
Because every single time I have gone out on the road the night before one of our football games, we have lost. Lost every single time.
Every time. See, this guy's crazy superstitious. Yeah. What about standing in the same spot? Would you tell us where the which spot on the sidelines is the lucky spot?
Well, it basically is for the national anthem that I have to be standing with a 30-yard line between my feet, and my cap-toed shoes have to be just over the 6-foot white border on the green.
And you know what?
Wow.
He's not really exaggerating that. I saw him put each foot down on their own so he could make sure they were lined up just right. It's how he just steps up.
Oh, yeah. I've become part, you know, in some of the cities, they have those huge flags over the field and,
yeah,
you know, and they have the flag bearers. Well, I have become a flag bearer so that I could get my feet and plant, nudge the person out of the way and said, no, you don't understand. I have to stand here.
You're nuts. How many cigars did you eat on the sidelines yesterday?
I had a bit of a Nikko overload yesterday.
Oh. Now, at what point during the game yesterday,
yeah,
when you're down there and you guys down by 17 at one point,
yeah,
and things can't be good,
it felt like 100.
Yeah. At what point did you start thinking of me?
That would be at no point.
Oh.
I'm so sorry to have burst your bubble.
Because I was thinking, you know, well, if I...
Were you with him in spirit, Don?
I was. I mm-hmm. said, you know... I stayed with the Ravens game. It was a hell of a comeback. They were saying on TV that people had left, and, you know, who can blame them? The team was getting killed, and you look like, well, you beat the traffic. And then I heard that they wanted to come back in, and they couldn't get back in.
I have since found out the facts, and I can debunk that myth. The people who wanted to come back in were allowed back in the stadium.
Well, and, Dave, I'm not busting your balls here. I'm not trying to Snyderize you. I'm just saying, I thought, and I would have been one of those people. Because
You would have gotten to your car, turned on the radio, and said, I want to go back in and be there, especially if it went to overtime.
Yeah, went to overtime, and how's BB doing?
BB is very good. BB, because of what's on his shirt cuff, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Brian Buck.
Brian's good today. Brian, we're all a little bit happier than the alternative, so that's a good thing.
And I saw him after the game. I love a head coach who's nuts. And really, this guy, Brian Billick, is nuts in a good way.
In a good way.
That he was just kind of, I don't want to say screaming, but speaking in loud tones to the media, telling them, don't worry about the fact that it was a close game or I don't want to hear any crap. We just won. That's all I would say is we won.
Right.
Now, leave me alone. That was pretty much what he said.
I didn't hear that part, but that's good. I believe that he would say.
I'm paraphrasing it. My point is, after a big game, and this historical game, he said, I just want to say that it wasn't really the coach, it was just the players. The players did good. So don't ask me any questions, because the players did it.
Right, and also, let's not try to analyze, you know, the 30th offensive play. It doesn't matter. You know, we won the game. Let's move along. It was a very exciting game. Let's move along.
Do you have any post-game rituals for a big win like that? Is there anything you do that's special?
Yes. I then eat. I don't eat all day long because I'm too nervous to eat, and so I eat the same thing after every home game.
What do you eat after a home game?
I'm a complete lunatic.
Share the menu with us,
what
please.
What did you eat, Rain Man?
I eat six shrimp and two breasts of chicken.
God, that is out there.
You know, every week, yeah.
You know how to live. You really, I mean,
yeah. I'm a big liver, yeah.
You would think on it, you know, on a crazy superstition, like when you win, like when something good happens,
right?
You'd lay out the goods. No, six shrimp. Now, do they have to be arranged in any specific order, or can it just be a regular, you know?
No, I get them off the platter, and then I put Old Bay sauce on it, or Old Bay, you know, spice.
Sure.
Shrimps, and eat those, and then I get the chicken thingies, and I... eat them with some horseradish sauce.
Ooh.
All the time.
Excellent.
Well, you're too funny. When you're on the sidelines, I discussed that the thing, you know, you and I both love cigars.
Yes.
You love them a little more than me. I mean, you chew them on the sidelines, and then you spit that stuff. You do that spit where it goes between your teeth.
Well, it's like chewing tobacco. You know, it's
right.
A gross habit, and I don't encourage it to anyone. But, I, you know, sometimes you need a little extra nicotine, and that's one way to go.
That's great.
So yesterday, during a five-quarter game,
yeah.
How many cigars did you eat yesterday?
I had my normal first-half ration, and then I stuck one in the fourth quarter, and it just didn't taste good, so I went to chewing gum.
Oh, okay.
Wow. I go to chewing gum. You
have,
know,
you,
the,
have you
gum
thought?
And stuff.
Have you thought that that's a new superstition now?
No, I've done that before.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't veer too far off of the path, but I have done that before, yeah.
Well, you got to love it. Yeah, that had to be a lot of fun yesterday.
I have to admit, and I don't encourage other people to smoke or to, you know, I'm not encouraging people to smoke, but I do enjoy a cigar, and I have to tell you, I really enjoyed the cigar last night.
Sure.
Yeah, well, it tasted yummy.
Sure, the big victory cigar last night. You've got your ass. You've been eating them all day. You finally get to smoke one.
What about the numbers, the number 7 and all that?
Oh, yeah.
This is, I don't know how much you want to talk about this.
No, it's fine. I don't, you know, I'm pretty open about it. I have a very number 7 origin, 7 and 11. So the patch I wear is 7, and I carry 11 over my heart. My parking space is 7. I won't let anyone park in 11. It's a, you know, kind of a routine. In fact, once I did have a car hooked because the poor guy had ended up parking in 7 by accident.
Towed, right.
And I just had, no, I'm towed. I had him hooked and moved one space.
Oh.
And it was actually a friend of my father's, and it was a really nice car. And so the next week I called him and said, well, Ed, I want to tell you that I'm the one who had your car moved to space. If there's anything wrong with your car, then we'll get it straightened out. He said, no, there's nothing wrong with the car, but when I came out, I thought it was facing the opposite direction than the way that I parked it.
Here's the craziest thing that Dave Modell passed along to us on the sidelines about this number 7 and number 11 thing, that when the Ravens were playing in the Super Bowl, there was a guy, and I'm going to get some details wrong here, Dave, but I know I got the basic stuff correct.
Yep.
If they win, this guy is in charge of the Super Bowl trophy,
right,
meaning that he's got to make sure nobody takes it until he gives it back to the president of the team. Anyway, the ticket number that this guy has, or that David has, the ticket number is something like 849. Is that it?
Well, exactly. So what occurred is I realized that we might actually win the game. The only thing, because I'm so superstitious, I don't want to make plans for winning because then you're going to jinx yourself.
But 7
dawned on me.
7 goes into 49.
Well, yeah. So it dawned on me that they might actually give me the trophy at the end of the game. So we had to make provisions to guard the trophy. As it turns out, my official pass that I've been given for the game that had the appropriate numbers that basically added up to numbers that were cool with me were identically the same with the officer who I asked to guard the trophy just by all happenstance, and as soon as I saw that, you know, it gives you kind of a warm feeling.
And Dave, exactly, what were those numbers? Because I know it was some weird. What were those numbers, David?
Up ahead is a signpost. I don't recall those numbers off the top of my head. It was a while ago.
There was some number before 49. It was like 349.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but it definitely it had the appropriate, you know, numerology going for it. And I have the guy gave. He was a police officer in Tampa. And when we were just getting on the airplane, and he was discharged, right at the stairs, he said, this has been the best experience of my life. Thank you so much. And here's my badge. And he gave me his badge, which I still have.
Oh, wow. Now, that that says something right there.
I thought it was very cool. He's a great guy. Jeff.
Are there any numbers that you're particularly afraid of, Dave?
No.
Okay. I just was wondering if there are particular players that might have a number and you never go near them or something like that.
No.
And do you use numerology in other aspects of your life or just football?
No other aspects. Just football, basically.
Okay. Right. Football. So he's a pretty crazy guy.
You've got to save it up for when it really matters.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy guy with all the nutty superstitions. You know,
yeah.
Stand here, don't stand here, do this now, put your left foot out now. Look, if there's a 7 there, 7 plus 2 is 9.
You're having
nine.
A good time, aren't you, David?
Is this the insane David Modell segment of your program?
I like you. I tell you, I didn't get a chance to come up there with Don, but I will tell you, it just sounds like you're having a blast.
It's working for you.
How can you not have a... Think of what I do for a living now. I'm the president of a National Football League team. I get to go to work doing this. I go to work. I'm looking at it right now. The trophy is sitting in my office. I go to work every day with the Super Bowl trophy. Now, what's not to love about this?
There you go. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
Unbelievable.
May I ask
a million guys would love to do what I do for a living. It's a hoot.
May I ask you an off-color question?
An off-color question? You may ask. I may not answer.
When you're in the office by yourself... You ever work your man?
Oh, stop it, please.
Like you're looking at that trophy. God. You just sit there and you start going,
you have way too much idle time.
I'm telling you, that's what I would do. David, listen, that was...
But do you want to come up here and I'll leave you alone in the office and you can work your man?
I would do
it. On the trophy, okay?
I'd leave you...
Just not on the trophy, he said.
You boost yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, David, that game yesterday was incredible and a great victory for the Baltimore Ravens.
Thank you.
And I know the next week it's San Francisco.
San Francisco.
San Francisco at Baltimore.
Correct.
So,
So we've done well. So you can come to the game.
Great. Thank
but
you.
If we go into OT, you gotta leave. Your record in OT is not very good.
You gotta leave. Hey,
you gotta honor that.
All right, yeah. That's a deal.
Have you escorted out?
That's a deal. All right, Dave, if you hold on, because I really do want to come to the game.
Yeah, great.
You can tell me where I can get the stuff. And
wow.
You're a great guy, and a great victory for the Ravens. And
thank you.
I know that you don't want to. Well, I'll say this after you're gone. Thank you, Dave.
You guys are great. Thanks.
All right, see you Sunday.
Take
hold
care. Bye bye.
What a nice man.
Yes.
As opposed to the dick that owns the Washington Redskins.
They're not just winning. They've got a classy organization.
Or any of his henchmen.
Yeah.
Because David Modell doesn't own the Ravens. He's the president of the Ravens. But
right.
Could you picture any of Snyder's henchmen ever?
I'm not talking about... Ever being relaxed enough and confident enough and secure
talk
themselves
about,
enough.
Talk about to embody it.
I mean, just to relax and to get the joke and to lighten up.
Yep.
And you know what? That, I really think, is an example of what we probably need, and I hope it happens here, because you know what? It's just
the Redskins, not a chance.
Well, I mean, you know, something's got to give.
He's only 39.
Yeah, I know.
He said that on TV last night.
Right.
Oh, what a shame for Daniel Snyder, who's only 39. I'm like, 39? Christ, I'm going to be dead before he's dead.
maybe not.
This thing is never going to work.
Yeah, it's refreshing for somebody that... You know, has that attitude, but you know, there's pressure. You're in a pressure situation, and that's terrific.
So anyway, thank you to David Modell. That was a great.
And we will see you on the sidelines next week at the Ravens San Francisco game.
Yes, Sunday, absolutely.
I'll be looking for you.
You know what I got to do now, though?
What?
I got to get some of those Ravens clothes.
Yeah, I know. Yes. You got to start dressing that way.
I got to get like the coach's clothes, and then get a clipboard, and then eventually get a headset.
Right.
It doesn't have to be hooked up.
Why don't you just see if you can get into the stadium with a little headset? And
Mike,
then,
I could be like Jack Diamond. They don't have to plug in my guitar.
No, and you know what? Bring those cost headphones, the kinds we wear in the studio, and then have them put that fake microphone on it, and then you'll be on the sidelines.
No,
and
I got to get one of the Telex things. That's
you want to get
the Motorola one.
You were so demanding.
It'll look real.
That's what I want.
I think you're superstitious.
Now, why would someone tell me not to go to this game?
Oh.
Brad, why? But because they lost in Miami?
I'm superstitious, bud. I just want the Ravens to win again. It's been so long. I love the Ravens.
You know what?
Please.
I'm realizing something. Hold on. You put a sock in it for a second. I'm realizing something right now.
What?
You are under a tremendous amount of pressure. I don't want to point that out to you, but I have to. You're under a lot of pressure for going up to that game.
And I'm willing to take the pressure because I believe that my mojo is strong enough that the Ravens will win. And then,
an interesting choice of words.
And then what happens? Huh? Then I ask Dave Modell what happens the week after.
Well, I think
what happens
about
the after week after?
That? If they win next week, I think what happens after that is part ownership.
And the week after. I don't want a lot.
Of course, they are transferring. He is. Would you call him a lame duck? Would you call him a...
No, because he's going to be involved in a capacity.
He's going to be in a consultant capacity.
After the other guy takes over.
And he gets along very well with the family gets along very well with the new ownership.
Yeah, we met the guy, the new guy that the Modells are selling to. Yeah, he seemed
a local guy. Lives down around Annapolis.
Pleasant enough.
Mm-hmm.
Could have used a new necktie, I thought.
No, so you don't start. You might get in good with him. But I mean, if you get the joke, you'll be all
right. I'm kidding. I don't remember.
Necktie.
He had a pen on. He had a
necktie.
A spin on. Hey, Don and Mike, hello.
Radio Gods.
Hi.
It makes me so happy. I've listened to you guys for so long. It makes me so happy to hear you as a Ravens fan. I hope you come down to all the games and F the Redskins.
Well, listen, this is all I ask. And I don't think I'm asking a lot. All I'm asking is to be friends with president of the team and be allowed to be on the sidelines for every game and be able to fly away with the team when I choose to. That's all I ask.
That's how cool Modell is. I mean, I've been on the sideline before, and I've walked up to him and introduced myself, and he'll just talk to anybody. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Now, Robin,
and that's what the people of Baltimore like.
Rob, have you contacted the ownership to see about getting an announcing job now at that stadium? Because I remember back when Don started doing the pregame show, you didn't even know football, and then you became like a part of the whole Redskins fabric. Now, my question to you is, what are you going to do now?
I'm very happy where I am.
That's a very diplomatic answer.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you, David Modell, for joining us. Got a break. Now, when we come back, you know, I hate to put it like this, but there's no other way to put it. This is not a standard Don and Mike show. This is a real show. We have another. We have another guest.
Oh no!
Yes, the Arnold guy, the guy that was in Pumping Iron,
Franco Colombo.
That's him, and we got a press release saying he wants to push this direct-to-video movie.
Right.
But he's willing to answer any questions about Arnold Schwarzenegger while they were making Pumping Iron.
Did he touch you?
Yeah. So. That guy is coming up. Now, I know two guests in a row.
That's amazing.
On this show. But don't worry, we'll have plenty of time for your inane, stupid telephone calls as well. So please stay tuned.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know something? After watching the mulattoes shake it, I can absolutely understand why Brazil is totally devoted to my favorite body part, the ass.
The Don and Mike Show. Moving faster than the speed of justice, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm a running, baby.
Hey, stand by now. You know, we've not given away a key yet today. Let's take a call 100. Right now, 877-365-3636. Ask about something that's happened already on the show today. You can win $100 and a key that could start a brand new car. Jeep.
The 2004 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4 from Ferris Jeep on Fairfax Circle comes equipped with high back bucket seats, analog four-wheel disc brakes, fog lamps, 3.7-liter PowerTech V6 engines and windows, cast aluminum wheels, and customer preferred packages, 2 TV and 26 feet. It's the Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4, Don.
Thank you, Mike. Now, don't forget, you're going to have to be the 100th caller and know something that happened in the early part of the show today.
That's right.
To win $100 and the key that can start the brand new Jeep. For information on the Jeep, go to...
I just hung up on the dude.
Oh no. I really didn't mean to.
Or go to www.farish4farish.com.
Very good.
Right.
Number4farish.com.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting now on
Colombo.
Is there any chance? Is there any chance that Arnold caused you any distress?
Anyway, this guy, Franco Colombo, was in Terminator, Conan the Barbarian, Pumping Iron.
Is there a picture of him?
We don't know. We don't have his number. Did he call us?
He called us.
Well, I hope he calls back. Charlie, you had the opportunity to speak to this guy. Did you find him to be the type who would be with it enough to call back if he got disconnected?
I hope so. He called on time. And,
I know we ran late. I'm working on it.
Right.
Did he ask any serious questions?
I was kind of a dick with Charlie today.
One more thing.
Charlie wanted to book him at a particular time, right. And I said, no, do it earlier.
Do it earlier.
I'm going to run the show on schedule today.
And now we're late.
I don't understand.
He's on time for the original time I had planned.
Uh-huh.
Charlie?
Right. Have you seen my raincoat?
Do you know what Mike's doing?
Yes, I do. Colombo.
Colombo. Thank you for
understanding. Who plays Colombo?
Peter Falk.
Very
cool. Peter Falk, who's my favorite movie of Peter Falk, is a recent one made with John Favreau.
Not bad.
Because you wrecked my van.
Not bad.
You didn't think I'd know that?
I bet that's him right there.
Uh-huh.
I bet we got him. Well, we got to get a caller 100 now, too.
Well, all right, you guys. Caller 100?
You guys can wait.
He wins a key.
Hello, Franco.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, hi, we're great. So sorry, I didn't mean with my big fat elephant fingers to hit the button.
I see. I told you this would make a bigger computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you.
Hey.
So you were in Pumping Iron. You have a new movie out.
Yes.
Mike, featuring one of the Baldwin brothers. Can you name this Baldwin brother in the movie Ancient Warrior?
Yeah, he's a...
Is it Daniel?
Yes, it is.
Daniel Baldwin.
Danny Baldwin.
He's called this show before.
In the supernatural action adventure film Ancient Warrior, which is coming out tomorrow on VHS and DVD.
In all the video stores.
And you were in Pumping Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yes. And you know, that's coming out too sometime this week.
You know, you were in Pumping Iron, you competed with Arnold. You were in a different weight class, right?
Yeah, I won my weight class.
Right.
They made it two classes, you know, and they're below 200 pounds and above.
And then you have the overall.
And then in 75, they had the overall.
Right.
They gave it to Arnold.
Right.
and I won it in the overall the next year.
So how crazy was he back when you knew him in the pumping iron days?
Yeah, that time, you know, we were really training 3 or 4 hours, and the rest of the time was we were trying to have fun.
Ah. So did you guys get laid? Did you get laid all the time with Arnold?
Once in a while, you know.
Yeah. Once in a while.
You know, we had the mind more on training than women. Women, we had like a girlfriend here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's very hard when you come to the United States to adapt to the new culture here. It takes time.
Right.
What about, I've seen a bunch of clips from pumping Arnold just taking a toke on a nice joint. You ever smoke pot or?
You know, that's the only time I saw Arnold ever touching it.
When it's on with the one in the movie?
It was the one in the movie on pumping iron. He never smoked before or after.
What about Arnold? He smoked a lot of pot?
No, he doesn't either. None.
Now, when you were in that, when you were in...
Like, we would hate to smoke cigarettes or puff, like, to inhale it. But, and Arnold does smoke the cigar once in a while, and I do, too.
So in Pumping Iron, he only smoked pot just for the movie.
It's just for the movie, really.
Was there anybody, because I've seen so many clips of that Pumping Iron, he really worked on mental intimidation with his opponents, didn't he? He worked on Ferrigno a little bit as far as just trying to...
Yeah, in the previous competitions, we did do some of that, but not that much. You know, for the movies, done much more with Lou.
Did you ever see Lou Ferrigno in women's clothing?
No, really?
No. not really. Did you ever see a woman performing oral on Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
You ever see a woman being groped by Arnold Schwarzenegger? That's the one I want.
No, that's the funniest one. Not only I never seen men groping, the funny part is all these women that came out, you know, they were 15 or 16 or whatever.
Right.
I know Arnold for 38 years. They're best friends. We go out a lot of times together. He lives only a couple of blocks from my house.
Oh, then we got a very misleading...
And here's 16 women.
Uh-huh.
And one day I say, Arnold, they say, I don't know any of them. Who are these people?
So in your mind, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a solid citizen. And is there anything funny about him being elected governor that you can see?
No, the only...
Thank you, this interview is over. But I do want to say that Franco Colombo has a cherry direct-to-VHS and DVD movie tomorrow.
Right.
Called Ancient Warrior. Go check it out at Hollywood and Blockbuster. And thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I don't know. One more thing. I just wanted to...
That's for you, Franco.
Oh, there the boy.
You bought in a gagutta.
You got an Italian station there.
You know that? Yes. You bought in a gagutta. You send out the press release that says you talk about Arnold, but then really, you're just like his best friend.
Your best friends.
So what? Are you best friends?
Yes.
Oh,
and neighbors. Oh, so you're not even going to say anything bad about him. Do his farts smell?
No. I mean, but, you know, Arnold is a great guy, and he's going to be one of the best governors.
Oh,
he's a good finish in his man.
Oh, dear.
God.
Has he offered you a position in his cabinet?
No, you know what I told him? I said, you know, why don't get rid of Bustamante, and I can become lieutenant governor?
Yeah,
that would have a guy who was...
And then we can build a gym in the capital.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we're getting a guy who's going to tell us something about Arnold.
Not a chance to have friends for... How many years, Franco?
38 years.
Wow. 38 years, so we won't get any dirt on Arnold from you, huh?
He didn't do any dirt, you know, that's the problem.
Oh, bummer.
Conservative and too nice.
You never saw him like...
You ever meet his dad, the Nazi?
That's not even true. He was like a small police officer in Austria.
He's an Arnold guy. an Arnold ally.
Were you ever with Arnold when Arnold talked about what a great guy Hitler was?
Oh, I always tell him, Arnold, he's so great. And he says to me, I know.
Now he's goofing around.
Yeah, he's goofing around.
He's being goofy. And you won Mr. Olympia, right?
Yes, I won 1976 in 81.
Wow. And how tall are you, Franco?
5'5".
5'5", little guy.
5'5". Right.
Mm-hmm. And what's Arnold's IQ, do you think?
Oh, you know.
You know,
good idea. I should have asked him to check it.
All right, I'll give you a figure to work with, a ground figure.
Ask him who's in better shape right now.
What? Him or Arnold?
Yeah, because there's no...
You guys aren't going to see...
No, come on, Frank. Now, come on, Franco. Who's in better physical condition right now, you or Arnold Schwarzenegger? Tell the truth.
You know that...
Come on.
What to say?
Come on.
You know, I usually... They are both in excellent physical condition.
Don't be an ass.
We
saw those pictures of him on holiday. We saw those things in the National Enquirer.
Are you, Franco, do you still train every day?
I train 2-3 times a week, but I was a pretendist.
Franco, are you smarter than Arnold?
No, I think Arnold is smarter than I am.
All right, getting back to my original question.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump had an IQ of 75.
Yeah.
What IQ do you believe Governor Schwarzenegger has?
You know, but IQ, I have no clue.
Put a number on it. Do you ever see the movie Forrest Gump?
Well, yes, of course. Yes.
About the retarded guy?
What is the maximum number on the IQ?
Maximum number is 150. Is it 150, Buzz?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Something like 150. 150 or 175? I mean,
right.
I don't even know. We're idiots. We don't even know what the highest IQ is.
Something like that.
I don't think we should be entitled to ask the question.
No, Mike. We have every right to ask that question. All right.
I feel stupid. I think he's 130, the high IQ.
I feel stupid. We booked this guy on the show.
Well, he says he's Arnold's friend. We were misled.
Right. You should tell your publicist, don't send out things saying you'll say anything about Arnold, because you're just saying great stuff about Arnold.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can get you to say bad about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, let's see what I can say bad.
Okay. All right, think about it.
He loves it when I cook and he eats the food.
He what?
I cook and he eats when, you know, like, in other words, when we used to live together, this is a true story, when we used to live together, every time he cooked steaks, he used to burn them.
Ah,
there it is. A bad
and then I cook.
You ever in the shower with him? How big's his unit? How much has he got going?
He's a regular guy, all around.
You know, come on, guess. Yes.
He didn't really check that.
Check it and get back.
No, because we are busy training and doing other things.
Are you a selfish,
a secondary thing?
Are you a selfish lover?
I don't know.
I
don't know what the selfish is.
I am. I think you are too.
You know? Anyway, you guys are fun.
We have a lot of fun, but we can't get you to say anything bad about Arnold. That's a drag.
That's the only reason we put you on the show, dude, is because
we thought we'd get some dirt on Arnold.
Yeah, the only thing is that I tried to tell him. I told you I didn't know the 60 women. I said, where they come from?
Yeah, so you exonerated him from that.
Yeah.
And the only thing you said is that he burned steak.
You know?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You ever walk by the bathroom after he's had a bowel movement? I mean, will you at least tell us?
You know,
does he have big stinky poops?
You know, it's not so important to me that.
Not so important.
I don't worry about the past. I worry what he's going to do next.
Yeah. We all are.
What about, how did Arnold react when his wife started looking like a skeleton? You know, when she got that Kennedy jaw and she's got those big pronounced teeth?
The bottom line is that she exercises a lot. That's why women love to be thin in California. It's not like with you guys.
Right. You know what I'm thinking, really? He ought to make you his lieutenant governor.
Do you think he enjoys having sex more with Maria or more with other women?
No, only with Maria.
Only with Maria.
But what
he's unflappable.
She's less work.
She's what?
Less work.
Yeah.
She's less work. Why? Because he's married to her?
Yeah, he's married to her. No, not because he's married to her. She's right there. He doesn't have to go anywhere.
Right.
Do you think they have sex a lot?
You know?
Do you think Arnold and Maria have sex a lot?
You know, I really don't know that because I...
Speculate.
In a house...
Pontificate.
To ask him. I'm going to ask him.
Okay,
good idea.
would you like, if all things being equal...
Now, don't forget to promote my film now. You're getting really dirty.
All things being equal, would you have sex with Maria Shriver?
You don't have sex with your best friend's wife.
Well, no, she wasn't married to Arnold.
Well, if she wasn't married to Arnold, I would be very excited about her.
Really?
Sure. Okay.
What would you do to her?
Sexy.
What would you do to her?
First, I would lift her up.
Uh-huh. First, I would lift her up.
Lift her up.
And then what would you do after you lifted her up?
You know, first you lift them up and lift them up and lift them up, and then you would let her.
And then what?
And then what?
Then you worry about it.
Then you worry,
then
about it. You lift them up, you lift them up, you lift them up, then you worry.
I'm getting a certain position, actually.
So am I.
Yeah, you guys are too much.
All right, well, good luck with the direct-to-video movie.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming on the show, and good luck to your friend Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye, Franco.
Bye.
Yeah, it's always a disappointment, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think he's going to sit there. Friends for how many, over 30 years.
Yeah. That's not in the press release.
It's not fair.
No. Not in the press release it says we'll answer all questions about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I know.
He did.
He actually did.
I can't not like the guy. I don't know why.
Hello there.
I liked him in Pumping Iron, too. He's the only guy I liked in Pumping Iron.
Don and Mike, caller 100. Hello.
Gorgeous.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike, who is this?
This is Dan.
Dan, where are you from?
From Linden, Virginia.
All right, Dan, have you been listening to the whole show today?
I have.
And then a very simple question for you to win $100 and a key that could start the Jeep. Ah, who got fired today at the Washington
Post?
Bob Levy!
Yeah, good job.
That's a good one.
Winner, that means
winner.
You win $100 and you're qualified to win a brand new Jeep.
It's a brand new Jeep, the 2004 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4 from Ferris Jeep on Fairfax Circle. Comes equipped with IVAC bucket seats, satellite four-wheel disc brakes, fog lamps, 3.7-liter power tech, V10 from Bell, tinted windows, cast aluminum wheels, and customer Fairfax is 2TB and 26B. It's the Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4.
Yeah. At what point did you stop being yourself and just start?
Well, you know,
that crazy Jim Carrey, that sometimes
you catch me by surprise. And I'm going to tell you right now that as we progress with this, that's going to get wire sideways. In fact, it'll get to the point where you don't understand.
The Jeep, listen, it's 2 weeks from, we went through this. It's
2 weeks, from Friday.
From Friday. Right here at the station, you got a key.
So you say.
You got a key, you got $100, we'll see you, good luck. Your key starts the car, you win the Jeep.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Hold on just a second. Now, keeping in mind that we still have another guest to get to today.
Wow. Right.
This guy, this author guy that wrote the book, where we're going to do the thing on him.
Right, Oxfing Latouris.
He's a real author. We have yet another key to give away because we never got to it on Friday's episode because everybody was drinking.
Right.
So call now at 877-365-3636. We're going to play a Thanksgiving version of It's All Relative.
All right.
This is one of our parlor games where you call up and you give us the phone number of a friend or a relative. And it's got to be a relative, not a friend. And we ask them three very personal questions, maybe something having to do with Thanksgiving. You get all three questions correct. Boom, you win $100 and a key. And your friend will win the Christmas six-pack of CDs from Universal Music and dinner for two at the Outback Steakhouse.
Your friend has to match your answers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So our phone number, 877-365-3636. Call now. I just want to set this up for tomorrow because I think it's a goddamn funny idea for a bit. Tomorrow on the show, he'll be making an extended appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as our holiday treat to you, and it's okay to get the kids around the radio, even though it's an adult show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring in America's number one film star, beloved character, the Cat in the Hat.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey.
It's great to be the Cat in the Hat.
You're Dr. Evil.
No, you are totally in error.
You're Mike Myers.
No, you're wrong. I am actually the Cat in the Hat. And I've surrounded the House of Fun with red-hot magma. Thing one and thing two.
Now,
happy to be starring with Miss Kelly Preston and Mr. Alec Baldwin in The Cat in the Hat.
This is a bit that we're going to be running into the ground over the next 3 days. And we don't have time to take...
Number one, where's my oversized magic hat that I remove things from?
We don't have time to take calls, but let me
no ask... No time, you. Unfortunately, to take... calls, Mr. Powers. I am the Cat in the Hat.
What would your message?
I'm an evil cat.
What would your message?
Evil.
You see, this is funny because it's Mike Myers.
Right.
Mike Myers, of course, is Dr. Evil. What would your message be?
Where's Mrs. Kwan, the babysitter, Scott? That's one of the characters in my new film, which I encourage everyone to go see, the Cat in the Hat.
And you are?
I am the Cat in the Hat.
And what would you...
Beware and be very eager.
Would you have a message for the young, for the youngsters, yeah, the chillins listening right now?
Absolutely. Fall into line behind the Cat in the Hat. Make sure you pursue the most evil activities. Note the way I take my tiny little cat paw and put it to the corner of my mouth. And note my little cat scar.
You're wearing...
Move the hat, you'll notice that underneath I'm totally bald.
Now, you're wearing the Nehru jacket.
I'm wearing a Nehru jacket over my Cat in the Hat body.
Oh, you just want to do that, the look of thing, right?
The
zippet. But the cat.
Would you like a Hot Pocket? I will give it to you from the Cat in the Hat.
Cat in the Hat.
I am the Cat in the Hat.
Join us again later.
Join us later for the Cat in the Hat. He's very evil.
There he goes. We'll play It's All Relative. You got one more?
No.
No, okay. I like it sometimes when Rob goes over there.
Well, you can open the door. If you
okay. Oh,
sharks with laser beams. That's now I'm in here now for another extended visit, I hope. I hope you're ready for me, Mr. Powers.
Yeah, I saw Rob come over with a joke. And you know what? If Mike is in there somewhere...
Where's Kitty Me?
Mike was probably...
I need Kitty Me.
Mike was probably...
Kitty Me, you complete me.
Mike was probably right not to go to that joke from Rob.
This is true, but of course, I enjoy being the Cat in the Hat.
Okay.
Quotation marks. Goodbye, Skull. That's fine.
Call now for It's All Relative. We'll be right back.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know something, Archie? Just because a guy is sensitive and he's an intellectual and he wears glasses, you make him out a queer.
I never said a guy who wears glasses is a queer. A guy who wears glasses is a four eyes. A guy who's a fag is a queer.
They like their cruelty the way they like their women. Naked. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, baby. Thanksgiving on the Mayflower. You'll hear it Wednesday on the Don and Mike Show. We're broadcasting live from Baltimore. Darling, a private closed circuit message to my wife.
Ah.
Probably is not listening now because she's doing what she does.
Mm-hmm.
Boning the guy that she claims to have hired her.
At Walmart.
At Walmart.
Boning the Walmart manager.
We'll broadcast from Baltimore on Thursday, December 4th.
You're a pretty girl.
Instead of Friday, December 5th.
Right.
That's mainly because Fred and I've got a thing to do with our son involving school.
Very good.
Involving college and the fact that even though we have a son that's going to the college that my wife went to, they still feel now the need to squeeze until another drop of blood comes out of me.
Right. Well, welcome to schooling.
It's one of those things. So, Rob, someday she'll bone Sam Walton.
Someday.
All the way to the top, Rob?
Someday she will as a Walmart greeter.
The ultimate casting chaise lounge.
So we'll be in Baltimore at Live 105 Thursday, December 4th, and then we're giving away the car. Friday, the Jeep on Friday, December 12th.
Right.
Also, you should know, just ahead here of It's All Relative, tomorrow on the show... We're going to finally hear the Jerry tapes, the Jerry Lewis tapes.
Okay, here we are.
But before we hear the Jerry tapes, you're going to have to hear the Larry tapes.
Ah, the Larry tapes from Larry's birthday.
Remember the show that Rob and I told you that we were the only two idiots in the world that watched this show? We were on the phone for an hour.
Right. Oh, I can't wait.
We got it. So Jerry and Larry on the show tomorrow.
That would henceforth be referred to as the Larry King Suckfest.
And all the other stuff that we haven't gotten to and still to come on the show. Again, I keep thinking it's somebody else's show. This can't be our show. We don't have guests. Tim Conway.
Wow.
And also the mom of the Backstreet Boy.
Wonderful.
Now, isn't that the line of, did you want to get you through the holiday season?
Uh-huh.
And through what on Wednesday will be traditionally the heaviest travel day of the year, and Friday will be traditionally...
heaviest shopping day of the year.
There you go. And please notice that for your convenience, Mike and I are not saying those things
together in our DJ style.
Yeah, you can look forward to that on Wednesday.
On Wednesday. When, like everything else, we'll just bang over the head with it.
Why not?
Now, let's try to give away $100 and a key that can start the brand new Jeep. Oh, the Jeep. Mine.
It's a brand new Jeep, a 2004 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4 from Ferris Jeep on Fairbank. There you go. Got his equipment, high back, back, and CZ, like four-wheel disc brakes, five glass, 3-foot, 7-liter power tank, V6 engine, set up windows, cast, aluminum wheels, and customer-preferred packages to CV and 26 B. Oh, it's the Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4 now.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Giving away a key that can start that car on the 12th. We're only giving away 18 keys, a good chance of getting your car to start up there if you have the key. And, you know, I've not even mentioned today, Joe has been driving this Jeep. We got to get a review from him on what Joe's been doing in the Jeep.
George, the car guy.
I have to also,
Joe.
I guess, something today, tomorrow, Sunday, tell you about the weekend. I got suckered into being an auctioneer by my good friend, Gary Pesh.
Gary Pesh. Hi, this is Gary Pesh.
I'm Gary Pesh.
That's you, right?
Yeah, he got me out to this gig on Saturday night, a charity gig.
Oh, how good you are. Listen how talented you are, though.
And a charity gig. Yeah, where I had to end up being an auctioneer. And I'll tell you about that. A little bit offbeat style for that. And also, Rob had, I call it a fantastic, you might call it a
sex weird dream.
No, no sex.
Not at all.
But a weird dream that he called and told me about immediately after he had it.
Can't wait to hear it.
Including Rob.
When he called you at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
Sweating.
Rob, myself, and Bob Hope.
Really?
In Rob's dreams. And Rob tells me.
Was anybody falling?
No.
Rob tells me that he does not have a lot of dreams. And no, Mike, there
was
were no.
You, Bob, and Rob going on a train going into a tunnel?
No. And there were no bananas.
I will tell you this. It was
fireworks?
Nah. Not a one. It was so lifelike that when I woke up in the morning, I had to, like, make sure it didn't happen. It was
really?
A weird dream.
Yellow rain?
9.
Hey! Okay. There's funny, and then there's not
over the line. Yeah. So you say that, and you make me laugh more.
That's how
you make me really chuckle.
Because they're yellow rain.
Yellow rain! Yellow rain!
Covered by yellow rain! Let's play It's All Relative.
Yeah. I'm over here now.
Let's see if we can give away a key. We're going to call Doreen's mom, I think, is that it? Doreen, hi, Doreen.
Hi, guys, how are you?
Hi, Doreen. Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Calvert County, Maryland.
Oh, that's gorgeous country.
And the live one,
it is.
You got to be on Live 105, right?
Yep, I can pick you up on both.
Yeah, how about them Ravens, huh? How about that? I'm going back on Sunday, be on the sidelines.
Well, they treat you so darn well.
Yeah. If they win, I'll whip it out.
Don, I got a couple of people asking me.
Yeah.
Is that a protest appearance up at Ravens Stadium? Is it kind of a protest? Is it, you know...
Mike, you interpret it any way
you want. Burgundy and gold might be wondering that. The loyalists of the burgundy and gold...
It's obvious that what I have to say does not affect the burgundy and gold.
Right.
Let me just say that on the air on Friday, I will be burning the tickets that I have paid for. and I won't be going to the Redskins game. I'll be going to the Ravens game. So I guess it's...
This Friday?
Yeah,
we'll be
on the air Friday.
Oh, my God. You'll all have to come to my house then.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Everybody has to come to my house on Wednesday.
Call us all when you're doing that.
No, I'll do it on Wednesday then.
Okay.
Very good.
I think on Friday.
Friday.
You know, one time when I was working, I don't know where, I said something dumb like, Ed, but you'll have to tune in tomorrow morning. I'll have to talk to you about this tomorrow morning.
Right.
And it was Friday.
Right.
And some ass called me. And this was back, you know, when I was playing records. And I couldn't say, you know, F you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to the guy, he said, well, if you're doing this tomorrow morning, you'll have to be doing the show from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, haha, that's very funny. But I actually ended up doing the show from that guy's house.
You actually went over and did the show?
Yeah, did a Saturday morning show from the guy's house.
Like got the line set up and everything?
Got the line set up. Funny. That was back in the day when you could do it. When I worked at a real radio station.
Right.
That really said, hey, it will take 1 second to make a phone call. If you're willing to work on Saturday morning.
Right.
Because I was doing the morning show Monday through Friday.
Right.
If you're willing to go to this guy's house, you can do the show from this guy's house on Saturday.
Do the full 4 hours or just 2 hours?
4 hours. Worst show I've ever done.
It's all right. It was Saturday.
It was awful. Yeah, it was Saturday, but it was, you know, records and a funny idea until you're getting up at 4 o'clock on Saturday morning going,
you realize this is my day off.
Yeah, why am I going to this schmuck's house? Because he called and said one funny thing.
Did he make breakfast for you?
No, he did not.
Oh, that's true.
He did not. Listen, Doreen.
Uh-huh.
Doreen, we're going to be calling your mom Lily here.
Lily?
Yeah. How old is Lily?
Lily is 76.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think younger than 70 with the name Lily.
All right, we have...
There aren't many Lilies around anymore.
We have three questions about Thanksgiving and about your family that we'll be asking your mom. If she gets all three correct, you win the $100, and you get the key, and then your mom will get the Outback Steakhouse and the Christmas CD pack. Here is the first question for you.
Okay.
Your mom, who is 76.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that she is in good health.
She is. She lives on her own. Yep.
Good. Great. Which breast would she say of hers is her favorite, the left or the right? On your mom.
Oh, my mom? This is a great question.
I know it is.
It's going to have to be the right, because she had a... mastectomy on the left.
Oh, well, see, now that's why I asked.
Well, maybe we should change the question then.
That's why I asked if your mom had been in good health.
Oh, I didn't get it. Okay, sorry.
And Doreen, can we say that we're very glad you hipped us to that? That would have been very awkward. That would have been very difficult.
You know, I mean, that's why I tried to ask up front, if she's in good health.
But you realize her concern was she was happy because she knows she got that one right.
Yes.
Then this question will have to be... Now, Doreen, let me ask you.
Okay.
Are you in good health?
I am in good health, yes.
Good. Which of your breasts do you think is the best? Mike, why are you looking at me like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole breast issue might be a little... Will Lily be
sensitive
for mom?
Your mom might be turned off by that.
You might want to go right down to the vagina.
All right, then let me ask you.
She is going to die.
It's a tough question.
Uh-huh.
Of your immediate family, who would your mom say is the woman with the most noticeable feminine odor problem?
I have no idea.
Well, she has. Well, now you have to come up with an answer then, and your mom will have to match it.
Right.
Okay. It has to be in the family.
In the family, who do you think has the biggest problem with feminine odor?
There's nobody, but we'll say Debbie.
Debbie. Well, there's nobody, but you did come up with Debbie's name right away.
You sure did. That didn't take much doing.
And just to make sure, she's not had anything like breast cancer. Debbie.
Right? No, she hasn't.
Okay,
very good.
There you go.
Now, there wouldn't be any medical condition, Doreen, that would cause the odor?
Not that I know.
Making 100% sure here.
If she had PC?
Yes.
If she had PUSA?
Oh, wait a minute.
Cancer?
Wait a minute.
Do you have... PC.
You know, that's used in most clinics around America, too.
Oh, my God.
I regret to tell you have PC.
Or you have cancer of the...
Right. No, PC is better.
PC.
All right, question number two. You ready, Doreen?
I'm ready.
Who would Lily say, of all the people that you hang around with at the holidays, Thanksgiving and otherwise, who would be the biggest dirtbag drunk?
It has to be Debbie again.
Oh, Debbie, working on a trifecta. Wow, poor Debbie.
And as long as we're on the topic of Debbie, we'll ask your mom, what do you think Debbie's biggest flaw is? What's really wrong with Debbie? Hello?
I'm thinking again, but it's her drinking.
Her drinking.
Well, now... I know it goes with that, but that is her biggest problem.
Well, it could be easy.
Well, now I think we got a winner here now.
Okay, so well, maybe that accounts for the odor.
Right, so Debbie has the vag odor.
No time to tend to yourself when you're just pounding.
And then Mike,
how are we going to work?
Hold on, we're going to call her up. So she has the vag odor.
Number two, who's the biggest dirtbag drunk in the family?
Drunk. And
what's Debbie's biggest flaw? And that, of course, drinking. Is drinking.
All right, now we're going to call your mom right now. Your mom is named Lily. Hold on.
Lily.
Hold on, let me dial this thing up. And
okay. Lily Munster.
Right.
Hey, Don.
Yes, ma'am.
When you call her, she's not going to answer. The answer machine's going to come on.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't answer out of area calls. But just explain to you, to her, that
well, why don't we let you do
line.
That, Doreen? Why don't we let you do that?
No, we can't do that because we can't put them all on the air. Anyway, Rob's doing the calling right now. Anyway.
Okay. As long as he mentions my name, she'll answer.
So say, so Robbie, did you get that? You have to say
Doreen.
We have your daughter Doreen on the line.
Right.
Make sure you don't say Debbie.
Debbie. Because Debbie has vaginal odor. She's a stinking drunk.
And her biggest problem is drinking.
She drinks.
It's, you know, I think really it's better than if her biggest problem was her odor.
But maybe she drinks because of the odor.
Right. Will Debbie be joining you for Thanksgiving drink?
She's cooking the dinner.
Even better.
Even better. I hope she's not listening. Oh, my goodness.
What family member is Debbie to you? What relation? Is she your sister? Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. That's a great
one. Sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Happy days.
You couldn't ask for a better sister-in-law.
Holiday's
great. Sister-in-law. She got a vag odor. She's drunk and she drinks. Okay, hold on. It sounds like Rob's on the phone.
Okay.
Talking to Lily.
Claim a prize. We need you to come on the air with us. Can we put your voice on the air?
Tell her that her daughter's on the phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, she's on the air with us right now. Can you join us?
She may not understand.
She's a cautious one, huh?
Yeah, well,
you picked the right person to play the game with.
Maureen is on the phone with us right now on our radio show.
Third explanation.
And she would like you to join us on the radio show as well. Can you join us? It's a game. It's a game.
I'm sure she wants to talk to her daughter.
Can you talk to your daughter on the air with us?
Yeah. Come on, Mom.
I know she's not there. We have her on the phone with us already.
Wow.
Tell her I'm calling from my cell phone.
She's calling from her cell phone. Okay, you got it, Rob?
Okay. Jesus.
All of this because the FCC says you got to get someone's permission. Is that a bitch or what? Let's now welcome, certainly not the A4 I was just speaking
no.
of.
Right.
Here is Lily. Hi, Lily.
Hi, Lily.
Hi. Now, Lily, here's your daughter, Doreen, so you know this is on the level.
Okay. Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom.
Doreen?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay, what is it?
Well, now,
it's a radio show. We're going to try to win a prize.
Now, you're going to try to win a key that can start a brand new Jeep here. We're going to ask you three questions about members of your family.
These are questions that we also asked Doreen.
Uh-huh.
If your answers match Doreen's answers, you can win her a very big prize.
Oh, okay.
$100 and a key that could win a brand new Jeep.
And make sure she knows it's family members.
Yes. Now these questions are all about members of your immediate family because the holiday season's upon us.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's kind of a family thing.
So that's why we call this game. It's all relative. Mm-hmm. Here's the first question for you.
Yes.
What member of your immediate family do you think has the worst vaginal odor?
I didn't hear the question.
Okay.
You might want to repeat it, Don.
Louder, Don. Yeah.
What female member of your family...
Yes.
Say feminine.
What woman in your family has the worst feminine odor?
The first what?
The worst
feminine odor.
Odor.
Oh, my daughter Doreen. Yeah.
Was that your answer?
Yeah.
Oh.
Funny.
Sorry, that's not right.
That's not correct. Doreen. Doreen said Debbie.
Your sister-in-law.
Your daughter-in-law.
Yeah,
well,
your daughter-in-law.
I didn't understand the question. That's what.
Okay, well, that's okay.
Well, I'll just ask you up front then, because you know we love senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
To make the question easier.
Yeah.
Who do you think has a bigger problem with feminine odor? Who smells worse? Do you think it's Debbie or Doreen?
Feminine odor?
Yes. You know
an odor problem. Like on the TV ads.
Oh.
Like a smell that's offensive.
See, the only thing I could think of, she has a bad feet. When she put the shoe...
Who would that be?
Doreen.
Doreen! Yeah. We tried to get you out of it, Doreen.
No, Doreen. You're not dodging that bullet, Doreen.
I don't think she understood.
Yeah, I think she did.
We'll move on.
I have the TV on, so I can't...
Oh, would you like to...
we got to roll, Mike. Here, let's just go with the second question.
Yeah.
Lily,
turn the TV off.
Lily, we're gonna. Here's a question about Debbie.
Yes.
About no.
No. You do the last one then.
I can, you're all right. I can say that. Yeah. Yeah. What's her biggest problem?
What is Debbie's biggest problem?
Did I screw that question up, Mark? I don't think it matters with Lily, do you think?
No, it really doesn't.
It's going to be fine.
What's Lily? What, Lily?
Yes?
Lily, what is Debbie's biggest problem?
Oh, I see what I do. Oh, I see.
It'll be fine.
The biggest problem?
Yeah, what is the biggest problem she has?
Debbie?
Yeah.
Debbie, yeah. Oh.
You know, this is my fault because I
asked... She's my daughter-in-law, so I can't say
it. I know.
Mom, she's not going to hear it. She doesn't listen to this radio station. Just say it. Oh, I'm confused.
Doreen.
Lily, let me just ask.
Doreen, what are you doing?
Lily, this is as much my fault. This is as much my fault as it is your daughter's fault. I'll just ask you a simple yes or no.
Yeah.
Does your daughter-in-law, Debbie, have a problem with alcohol?
Yes.
That is a yes.
That is.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
Yeah. All right, and then we can ask the next question. I think it's helpful here.
Go ahead,
Lily. At your holiday table, who is the biggest drunk?
Drunk?
Yes.
I say Debbie.
Yeah. Debbie!
2 out of 3.
Yeah. I'd say we'll give her the 2 out of 3 thing.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
And for my money, I think if I'm you, Lily, and I'm sitting at the table on Thursday, I might want to, smell both Debbie and Doreen, because I think it's unfair that you said your daughter has the problem with vaginal odor when we've already all agreed on the fact that Debbie is just a stinking drunk.
Right.
But you know, Lily, we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
All right.
Now, let me first tell you, Doreen, that you've won $100 in cash.
Woo-hoo!
And a key that can start the 2004 Jeep that we're giving away in a couple of weeks. So we'll see you down here for the Big Key Show. And Lily, for you, we have a 6-pack of Christmas music CDs, courtesy of Universal Music.
Uh-huh.
Go to Amazon.com to buy these. And you've also won dinner for 2 at Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, that sounds good.
There you go. Something for everyone at Outback Steakhouse. Buy Outback Steakhouse gift certificates for everyone on your holiday list. No rules, just right.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you,
You're
guys.
Quite welcome. It was very nice talking to you, Lily.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I had the other TV on and...
That's
you know,
okay.
It was
kind of
hard.
That's okay, Lily. And Doreen, darling, we're going to need you to remember to bathe before the key show. Okay?
Yeah, wash your feet.
Wash your feet.
Well, that's
okay. Thank you.
Okay, Mom. That problem when she was little. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily.
Thank you. Hold on.
Bye, Mom.
Hold on for your prize there, Lily. Hold on a second.
Hold on, Mom.
Don't hang up.
And
hold on, Lily.
Doreen, you hold on, too.
I will.
All right.
Okay, thank you, guys. Okay.
Thank you so much for listening. Hold on.
Okay.
And, she's still there. All right, hold on.
Are they both there?
There you go. All right.
Lily? We're going to need you to hold on. Hold on through Thanksgiving.
Vaginal odor.
Vaginal odor, feminine odor. You know, I thought...
But her feet stink.
Her feet. Well, those are Doreen's dogs.
Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
DJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I wish we were really big, like Dylan and Stones.
What do you mean big?
We're as big as anyone.
We have a hit show on CBS. Why can't you see that?
The Don and Mike Show. They like whole, not bold. Don and Mike.
All right, now, for our show, this is a booking. We got this guy who has written a best-selling book that has sold more than 1.8 million copies.
Wow.
That's a lot of books.
That is a lot of books.
Okay, so if you hear that, listen to this.
It's a real book.
All right, that's heavy.
That's a real...
Huh. That's the one that he wrote first called Don't Know Much About History.
Mm-hmm. Big seller.
Then he wrote this one. Listen to how this one sounds.
Much lighter.
It's a kid's book.
Yeah.
It's a kid's book.
Good.
It's called Don't Know Much About the Pilgrims.
Mm-hmm. Very appropriate. And, of course, kids. The hosts of the upcoming program will be focusing on the pilgrims.
It's for kids and tards and you know, and everybody else that likes pictures and big words.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is a famous author. His name is Kenneth Davis.
And I'm going to snatch that from you.
New York Times best-selling author. People Magazine has said that reading his books is like returning to the classroom of the best teacher you ever had. He's been on the Today Show, Good Morning America, CNN, and has won many, many, many literary awards. And we're going to be...
we're going to be having a...
You want the book there, Mike?
I want both of them.
The Pilgrims. And, Buzz, as soon as we cue you, we'll be ready for the music.
Very good. I'm ready.
All right, so everybody ready for the gag? Because this famous author doesn't know that we're going to be doing...
Great gag.
It's one of our skits. And when you hear the music, Buzz, that means I've turned the phone line on. The guy will know that we're on here. And here we go.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's the Two for the Road Show with your hosts, Mike Oxbig and Mike LaTorres. And now, here's Mike and Mike.
And let me just say, Monday, everybody. Hi, this is Mike Oxbig.
And I'm Mike LaTorres, and we're really happy to... But be back for another fabulous week of programs.
As you know, it's a turkey-tacular Tom Turkey.
Don't stop yourselves if you're married.
Tom Turkey starring this week. I'm Mike Oxbig.
And I'm Mike LaTorres.
Now we have a world-famous author on the show today. Mike, who is the man of the pen?
It's time on the Two for the Round Show to welcome... Kenneth C. Davis, author of Don't Know Much About the Pilgrims.
Now, I've read his other book, Don't Know Much About History.
That's a grown-up book. This Don't Know Much About the Pilgrims is a book about pilgrims. A kid's book.
It's 7 minutes until the hour. Don't forget, we have traffic weather coming together on the 8th right here. I am Mike Oxbig.
And I'm Mike LaTorres.
And welcome to Book Corner. And here's our guest who's written this book called, you know, we're fascinated with Tom Turkey. And,
absolutely. Who's not this time of year?
And Kraft Mini Marshmallows and everything else that goes with all the good fixings.
I'll tell you, Mrs. LaTorres's yams taste better with those little booby marshmallows on them.
Tell me something, Mr. Davis. What do you know about pilgrims?
Well, probably everything that you learned back in kindergarten that's basically wrong. It comes down to that. Throw out the black hats. Throw out the what Thanksgiving meant to pilgrims.
Are you telling me, Mr. Davis, that the pilgrims didn't have the pointed hats and the big belt buckles?
They didn't have shiny belt buckles. They didn't have black clunky shoes. They wore the clothes of English workers. On Sunday they would wear black for Sabbath.
You are an expert on the events and the history and the holidays. 6 minutes until the hour. Don't forget traffic and weather together coming up right here. I'm Mike Oxbig,
and I'm Mike LaTorres, and I'm very excited about Thanksgiving, but I guess what you're saying is what about Squanto?
Squanto's a real guy, but what was this guy doing in the middle of Massachusetts speaking English all of a sudden?
And if you're going to answer me this, riddle me this, Mr. Rother, Kenneth Davis, what does Paul Revere have to do with this entire Thanksgiving holiday?
Well, absolutely nothing at all. He's comes around about 150 years later, and about all he has to do with it is that he lives in Massachusetts, too.
Oh, dear. Pardon our faux pas.
Do you like sweet potato pie?
I do like sweet potato pie.
Did they have sweet potatoes back in the Pilgrim days?
Indeed they did. They,
yummy.
They had sweet potatoes, they had turkey, they had, it was wild turkey, but not the kind that comes in a brown paper bag.
Was it difficult when the Indians were running around scalping everybody?
Well, they weren't scalping anybody back then.
Oh, they weren't?
No.
Did they smoke them peace pipe and sit around and read? Don't know much about history. If I can tell you something, I read the book, the adult book, And I'll tell you this, the title, I believe, is plagiarized from a song made famous by Cat Stevens.
Cat Stevens?
I believe so. Another Saturday, also Sam Cooke.
I thought it was Simon and Garfunkel.
Another Saturday night, or am I thinking of the... Or is it Benny King? Who
don't know what a slide rule
Sam
is for.
My
Sam Cooke?
I've just been telling Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke, did you ever hear about that, Mr. Davis?
I have heard of Sam Cooke, and I've heard of Herman's Hermits and
yes.
all the others who did that covers of that song.
Pete Moon.
Speaking of cooks, are you going to cook a big bird for Thanksgiving yourself, Mr. Davis?
I'll be doing the bird.
You'll be doing the bird by yourself. Now, is this in a confectionery oven? Is this in a roasting type oven? I should mention, if you allow me to, it's 3 minutes till the hour. This is Mike Oxbig.
And I'm Mike Latouris, and we're with the author of Don't Know Much About the Pilgrims.
Don't forget, we're done here with our Turkey-tacular on this TGI Monday. Thank goodness it's Monday. Please don't forget that tonight, no penny goes without a story. Tonight, Penny Lane, starring Alan Ladd. That show will be on directly after our show.
And, of course, the graveyard just here, hosted by our own Joe Artinger, and a great recipe for brownies tonight.
Now, what about the Macy's Parade? I love the Spider-Man balloon.
How accurate is that?
The Spider-Man balloon?
The whole parade.
The whole concept.
Well, the parade started about 75 years ago, but the pilgrims weren't around for that either.
So it was much later, is what you're saying?
Yeah, obviously. And actually, the pilgrims would have thought Thanksgiving meant a day of fasting and prayer, not a big day of...
We're joined by Ken Davis, who's written many, many great books. Hi, everybody. This is Mike Oxbig.
And I'm Mike Latouris.
And it's 2 minutes before the hour. Big Blog Traffic Weather Together coming up. Don't forget, Michael Hughes will bring you Hughes News coming up in just a couple of seconds. This guy has written a book that I've read. Not the children's book, because, as you know, I have my children taken away from me many years ago. I am fighting that in court.
Don't get into the personal thing, Mike.
I'm hoping that we'll at least be able to email on this Thanksgiving holiday. Let me ask you, why isn't McDonald's open after 3 p.m. on Thanksgiving, sir?
That you would have to ask McDonald's.
Did they have marshmallows back in the Pilgrims days?
They didn't have marshmallows, but they did have surf and turf. It was the colonial era version. They ate a lot more seafood than we'll probably be eating Thursday. Eels, mussels.
What year?
Eels, ew.
Yes, eels.
What year did the Pilgrims first start enjoying the Detroit Lions playing NFL football?
Well, the Pilgrims were not football fans. They didn't believe in games.
They didn't play any games at all?
They banned Christmas.
Well, now, didn't they play Scalp the White Man?
No.
That's the Indians.
Oh, we're talking about which side? The Pilgrims.
Oh, the Pilgrims.
Oh, you know, that's my problem. We're talking about the Pilgrims.
So was there no feast at all, Mr. Davis? No feast at all on that day?
No, there actually was a feast, but it happened probably in October.
October.
It lasted for 3 days, and it was not exactly what we have in mind when we sit down to Thanksgiving dinner. And they did invite the Indians, and 90 of them showed up.
What's the best thing about the book, and why should we go out and buy it? That's the question I'd have for you, Mr. Davis.
Me too.
Well, it's simple. It's a fun way to learn about all the stuff.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. This is the edition of the Mike and Mike Show. Hello?
It might be the first time we ever lost one.
He just hung up. Hey, Rob, you're going to get to call him back. Buzz, you want to get us out of this?
Is there any point? Thanks for listening to the Two for the Road show with your hosts Mike Oxbig and Mike Latouris, and brought to you by your public library. Tune in again next time for Mike Oxbig and Mike Latouris on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Hang up and try again.
This is Mike Hunt speaking.
All right, so now, Rob, you can call him back.
Yeah, call
him back.
Call him back.
Ask him what happened.
That's the thing to do, of course. Ask him the real plug-only question.
And then
we're out of time.
He goes right for the music. Tell us about the book.
Oh, my God.
So why should we buy the book?
Again. Hey, it's Rob. We lost you there at the end. Well, they were going to the end, but we always wanted to say goodbye. How do you think it went? No.
It's a real offer.
Yeah.
Well, you did a great job, and we'd love to call you again sometime. Thanks again. Bye.
Wow, oh, Rob's coming over to the microphone.
Gotta hear this.
Robbie, what did the guy have to say?
His tone would be perhaps described as displeased.
Uh-huh.
And he said, have I ever done your show before? Not, I don't think so. He said, well, I was a bit taken off guard, but I tried to keep my end up. And I said, well, I'd like to call you sometime. He said, yes.
There we go.
But you know, I'll be reading this book to my kids tonight.
You know, it's really actually a pretty good book.
Yeah, absolutely.
I read it. Sucks.
There's no good stuff in there, Mike.
Well, maybe for your kids there is.
Yeah. A little 2 years down the road.
Yeah. All I know is that the other book is a book that I've seen in the bookstores.
Right.
You know, I don't read myself. People read to me, and I've seen that book, and booking that guy as a guest on the show is a big pain in the ass. Like we're trying to get Stephen Kinger, somebody who really writes.
We're owning a radio
right.
Was strictly forbidden. One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Me.
He made it up.
When did the special effects stop on this show?
Never. Pretty amazing.
When do we stop giving on this show?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Right.
From the Don and Mike show.
Here he is, Buzz Burbank. Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and the comments today?
Michael Jackson's love letters to a boy and a game called Rubba Rubba.
Oh, my. It gets better every day.
Yes, it does.
Is that R-U-B-B-E-R or R-U-B-B-A?
A. R-U-B-B-A. Rubba, rubba.
Rubba, rubba. Yeah. Like three men in a tub.
Rubba, rubba one out there.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
Thanks,
coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Come on. That was very
Brown Fashion Up.
This is the
Don and Mike Show.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Cleansing your ears with a verbal enema. Don and Mike.
Want to remind you, we're giving away a Jeep, 2004 Jeep from Farish. Go to their website, www.number4farish.com, or go to wjfk.com and click on the Don and Mike icon. We're giving away a Kia Day. Giving away the car 2 weeks from Friday. Time for Buzz Burbank now in news. Buzz brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer.
Someone called for a doctor.
Doctor developed clinically tested Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax, 1-888 try. VMAX, and now in the very agitated Buzz Burbank.
Hi, here we go.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
I want to tell you, he's a fireball today.
Yes, I am.
Fireball.
Full of energy.
It's full of piss and vinegar.
And a lot to say. Quoting a source close to the Santa Barbara district attorney, the DA is very confident with the evidence he has. This includes letters, videos, and computer files. They believe they have enough to nail Jackson, end quote. Let's talk about those letters. They are described as love letters and poems from Michael to the boy who is his latest accuser.
Dear cancer boy.
It was that boy who told police where precisely to look for the letters, under Michael's bed, in his bathroom, and in his bedroom closets. The boy also told his therapist, and later police, about the games he and Michael used to play, including one called Rubba Rubba.
Rubba Rubba, here we go. Let's find out about Rubba Rubba.
Well, we don't know the details yet, but quoting the 12-year-old, Michael told me he was my Rubba Rubba friend. Quoting, just give you a second to soak that in. Quoting the source close to the prosecutor, the letters are very explicit and intimate and show a degree of familiarity. Basically, they appear to be love letters from Michael to the boy, end quote.
Now, does Michael say any nasty stuff?
Haven't seen the letters. We've only heard from this person next to the prosecutor. We mentioned computer files and videos, but there are also videos in this case seized from two other Los Angeles area homes. One of those homes belongs to a producer of gay videos who also produced the recent Michael Jackson TV special, in which Michael refuted some of the portrayals of him from a British documentary. in other developments.
Yeah. Wow. You know, a lot of times we talk during the news buzz, but let me just soak all of this in.
Yeah, it's riveting.
It will fascinate you.
Beyond just screaming.
Yeah.
Get this freak.
Right.
You know, I'm looking here. While you're doing this, I'm looking at the paper.
The USA Today.
Yeah, and I see friends stand behind Starr.
Yeah, some of his neighbors and a few people in show business.
Who the hell at this point wants to stand up behind this pedophile?
You know, Rick James is among them.
Yes, Rick James and Dame Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, more about her in a moment.
Has finally said something.
Right.
And beyond that, and of course, as I mentioned, Jermaine went crazy on CNN.
Yes. Did LL Cool J come out too?
Yes, he has.
Yeah. That's pretty strong.
Vivica Fox spoke up.
Pretty sure. Now, what has she got to say about this?
She just says, leave him alone. She doesn't believe the accusations.
That is not the strongest list of supporters I've ever heard for the
king. I don't think so.
For the king of pop. But I'll tell you again, you could not come up with a better photo
right.
for a mugshot.
Oh.
I'm thinking about just cutting it out and putting it over my driver's license.
There you go.
The wacko jacko mugshot. Who's bad is what it says in the New York Post.
Wow. Daddy's scary.
Jacko busted on kids' sex rap.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Michael's lawyer.
Hold on, Buzz.
Yeah?
Excuse me again. Somebody on the phone says they've played Rubba Rubba.
Hello.
Right.
Hello, Don.
You're Don and Mike.
Pete,
hi, Pete. You've played Rubba Rubba?
No, I have not played Rubba Bubba, but I'd like to say hello to the king of gods of radio and the king of news. But don't you remember from 1993 the term Rubba Rubba coming up?
No.
Maybe I read it on a website or nothing, but I thought that child back then said Rubba Rubba was a position that Michael Jackson would get into where both parties were de-pantsed. And I've heard this before. I've never done Rubba Rubba.
Uh-huh.
I would not engage in Rubba Rubba. But I'm sure that I've heard this term Rubba Rubba before.
Uh-huh.
Rubba Rubba.
Mm. All right, well, hold on a second.
It's interesting.
You're an instant winner.
Yeah.
Because you've enlightened us about Rubba Rubba. You won a six-pack of Christmas music, courtesy of Universal Music and the 20th Century Masters Christmas promotion. Everybody else get yours today at Amazon.com. Thank you. Hold on a second.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And, Buzz, one more call on this topic.
All right.
Because Michael Jackson is still hiding out in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We're on in Las Vegas. Here's a guy calling from Las Vegas. Joel.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Joel. So,
you know, there are so many just, like, people, the sheep are following. They're standing outside the studio out here, and they've got their sign saying that they're backing Michael, and, you know, they're behind him 100%.
Now, what hotel is he staying at in Vegas? Do we know?
He's staying at Green Valley Ranch.
Green Valley Ranch.
That's outside of Vegas, right?
Yeah, it's to a point, it's not in the strip. It's like a locals casino to a point.
Right.
And he's staying there. I guess that's where they kind of hit, you know, take him to. They said the security's been really strong over there. Nobody's seen him, but the security was really, really, you know,
definitely
going on there. But I don't know. There's one lady that her son has went shopping with Michael, and he's just such a nice guy. And people make me sick.
All right. Thank you. No prize for you, but thank you for calling.
All right, guys.
See ya.
Is there anything in the news buzz about him being a flight risk?
No. Actually, I mean, he did turn in his passport when he turned himself in last week, as requested.
But didn't he also at some point offer that family, like, safe passage to South America?
Mm-hmm. That was one of the reports from the family, as a matter of fact.
Okay, so you got to think he's a flight risk. We already know he's a crazy, crazy, scary master of disguise because he goes to Disneyland.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody could do it, he's a guy that's used makeup before to disguise himself.
But here's the thing. I don't even think he'd have
Goodbye.
To use... I don't think he'd have to use makeup. I think at some point he just goes to somebody he knows at an airport at like 3 in the morning and says...
But makeup's more fun.
Let me tell you a couple of things
Get me on my plane.
That.
I want to go to Mexico.
When he flew from Vegas to Santa Barbara last week to turn himself in, his pilot filed no flight plan. And the day before he turned himself in, Santa Barbara sheriff's officers waited all day at the airport because they had heard that Michael's jet had left Las Vegas the day before Michael turned himself in. Again, no flight plan was filed, and they don't know where he went, obviously.
We almost got to Santa Barbara, but we were playing Rubba Rubba.
He obviously returned to Vegas.
Now, we're talking about Michael, right?
Right.
Right.
George Michael.
No, sorry.
No relation. But.
All right.
Michael's lawyers, meanwhile, are reportedly encouraging him to consider a plea bargain, maybe an insanity defense that would allow him to serve time in a mental hospital instead of a jail.
Hey, now, I think we're all agreed that would be as good as him going to jail.
Satisfactory.
There's also speculation Jackson got his $3 million bail money from a Miami-based lawyer who once represented a gangster by the name of Meyer Lansky. Jackson reportedly...
Stay cool.
There he is.
And Donald Ephraim.
Reportedly has a business relationship with that attorney. Quoting the source close to the prosecutor again, it just gets weirder and weirder.
Well, now, Buzz, if you're arrested and your bail is $3 million bucks,
right.
you got to put up 10%, right?
Right.
So you mean Michael Jackson doesn't have 300 grand?
I don't know what he has
and
what
he doesn't
have. I mean,
according to Rush Limbaugh, that's right. for Rush Limbaugh...
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to that story, that's walking around money.
Rush Limbaugh hasn't, well, I started to say he hasn't wasted the money Michael has, but apparently he has.
You
know?
Okay.
So, I don't know. We hear that Michael is in pretty bad shape financially. He borrowed $188 million from Sony that he hasn't paid back yet.
Yeah, here's the thing. When I hear that, I get the same thought as when an NFL player does something or a baseball player mm-hmm. does something and they find them $20,000.
Right.
When you got a guy that's making, you know...
Right, it's a drop in the bucket.
A-Rod money or Meshawn Johnson money or whoever it is.
Right.
You know, it's like $3 million for Michael Jackson.
Or $300,000, right?
That's,
which is what it was.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what Rush Limbaugh is saying, he's walking around the streets in his pocket.
Right. right.
Just to pay bills and fix his house. Anyway, it's got to be more for Michael Jackson.
And to address something you guys mentioned last week, yes, prosecutors say that aiding and abetting charges may be filed against members of Michael's entourage. Police, meanwhile, continue to look for other possible victims, including a boy in El Salvador, one in South Africa, and the son of a British soccer star. As for the current accuser, you've seen the young man. If you watched
Hello.
One of last year's Michael Jackson TV specials, that's something else you guys speculated about last week. Yes, the boy has been on television with Michael.
Yeah, he was on that documentary.
You can also see his face and read his name in foreign newspapers today, especially in Great Britain. In this country, the media protects the identities of sexual assault victims, especially minors, with a few exceptions.
This time, we leave that for great broadcasters like Tom Lickass.
Or Matt Drudge. This time, he's the exception. He posted some of the British papers on his Drudge Report website. So you could see what the British papers were printing.
Here's the guy who says the bail stuff is not right. Matt?
Yes, how are you guys doing?
Hi, Matt. We're doing very well. What's not correct?
With bail, if he posts the bail full percentage, you go to the magistrate's office.
Wait, what do you mean full percentage?
Well, if he bailed himself out, he would have to put the full $3 million up. And give it to the court.
All right. I see. So if someone else did it, it's only 10%, but if he did it, it's a full $3
million?
Full
$3 million. Yeah.
See, yeah.
Through a bail company, and they did a corporate surety. Then it would only be...
All right. Well, thank you for the clarification.
And what we hear is that he posted the $3 million.
So he didn't get it like from ABBA bail bonds.
Apparently
right.
Not.
Just a plug. I've never used them. I've never used them, but for those listening to us on 96 Rock in Ocean City,
sure.
As you go down Coastal Highway,
right.
If you go to the way Ocean City the way I do, which is you take the Route 90 bridge,
mm-hmm.
when you get to I think it's like 62nd or 63rd Street on Coastal Highway,
right.
Put you on the main drag.
Right.
If you make a left hand turn, you can't miss it. ABBA's bail bonds. And
ABBA's bail bonds.
And I always think, you know...
Boy, they're loving this right now.
If you change your mind...
Right.
I'm the first in line.
Waterloo! Here's your bail, sir.
Right. I mean, it's not like... Right next to it, it's Ace of Base mm-hmm. bail bonds.
Right, right.
You know, I'm trying to think of any other... That's about it.
Yes, Katrina and the Waves.
Yeah, but they weren't from...
They weren't from over there.
Where's ABBA from? ABBA's from...
Sweden.
And wasn't Ace of Base from Sweden?
I think you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Right.
Anyway, Michael, meanwhile, has gone online with a website he says will be used to keep the media and his fans up to date on his side of the story.
Was this the one you're telling me about, Ron?
Yeah.
Right, I love the web.
Funny.
The World Wide Web. www.
There today, he's just saying the charges are a big lie.
It's a big lie.
It's a big lie.
Bye.
And Michael still has his supporters. There have been vigils for him in key cities around the world, but none of the vigils has drawn more than a couple dozen people. Yes, there she is, Liz Taylor, finally speaking out in Michael's defense. Quoting her, I believe Michael is absolutely innocent and that he will be vindicated.
She's got a lot to say, Elizabeth Taylor does.
71-year-old there, you hear her blasting the media for what she calls unfair treatment. Quoting again, their whole reaction is that he's guilty. I thought the law was innocent until proven guilty. I know he is innocent, and I hope they all eat crow. On Friday, Taylor was refusing comment. Liza Minnelli, Diana Ross, Macaulay Culkin, and ex-wife Lisa Marie Presley are all still refusing comment.
There you go.
That's the Michael wrap-up.
The only crow I want to eat, his name is Cheryl. Or as Rudy would say, Carol.
Carol.
Carol Crow. Buzz, got a break. What's up in the next full segment?
A sentence for the D.C. sniper, for one thing.
Oh, right. Yeah, amen to that. Yeah. Now, there's some right-thinking American.
Right, Apple. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. If you change your mind,
take a chance.
On the
first line. Pound it. Abigail Bonds, Ocean City, Maryland.
Being a pilgrim totally sucks ass.
Happy Thanksgiving from the Don and Mike Show.
Right on. And I look at this good clock management.
Yeah.
If I could just pat myself on the back for a second.
Go ahead, do it.
Rob, be a deer and do it for me.
Maybe later.
look at this. We got all this time left, and Buzz still has more news to get to.
Good, I
here
do.
He is.
Cool, thank you. John Allen Muhammad. Hi, Donna Mike. John Allen Muhammad has been sentenced to death for the fatal shooting of a Maryland man during last year's D.C. area sniping spree.
You know, we could have saved a lot of money and angst if you would have just listened to me last year.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Kill him.
Yeah.
Kill him. Same with Michael Jackson. Kill him.
A judge could turn that ruling around and turn it into life in prison. We'll see. We'll know by February.
You know, I was out to dinner on Friday night, and the waiter came up to me and asked me if I wanted to meet the lead prosecutor in the John Muhammad trial. And I said, yeah. I mean, if it's not, I don't want to walk up to him. But on his way out, the waiter brings this guy over, and it was Paul Ebert, who was the guy that was on all the press conferences today with the lead prosecutor. And I said, you know, you must be ready for some downtime. And I think he indicated, no, you know, they're going to go on to all the other things they have to deal with now. And, you know, the way I understand it is that even though you might think it's a slam dunk with the way our legal system works, it still was an amazingly tight case that they presented to get this thing done and done quickly. And, you know, I congratulated the guy. I said, you know, we're all for you.
It's easy to let details fall through the cracks. They didn't. They were focused, and they're still on that mission.
Eaten by himself, incidentally, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
When I was just a little boy.
You know, if they screw that up, I'm just thinking this is all the JFK thing.
Right.
Uh-huh. We might need to ruby-eyes that guy.
Ruby, you mean Jack Ruby?
Yeah. Just in case. I mean, if it's the day that, you know, Muhammad goes walking out of court.
Yeah, but before you do anything, you better check with Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah, there you go. Be careful.
Thank you, Sam.
This is Sam Huff.
And
Sam
now Huff. We've come full circle.
I love that. Show. When I was just a young boy, I remember watching Bob Barker host a game show called Truth or Consequences.
Wonderful.
Now I watch him turn 80. Where else but
who's
on...
Who's going to turn 80?
Bob is.
The Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
I'm turning 80. I'm feeling strong as they knew your pets.
And he's going to turn 80 on TV. It was last year that Barker broke Johnny Carson's record for continuous performances on the same network show. No, he's going to make it. He's going to make it, Don. And on December 13th, the day after Bob's birthday, he'll host a primetime Price is Right $1 million spectacular.
Price is Right.
Larry King will be there, of course.
Tomorrow, excuse me, Buzz, I just have to promote. Tomorrow, we are, I know that there's lots of bits we never get to.
Right.
But tomorrow, we are going to take time for Jerry and Larry. We're going to look
in that order?
Good.
No. Larry and Jerry.
Larry and Jerry. There you go.
It's going to be the Larry King show that Robbie and I watch on the telephone and spend an hour talking about it. The awful, over-the-top tribute to Larry King on his
70th
birthday.
I can't wait.
And also the Jerry Lewis telethon tapes.
Right.
At least that's the plan for tomorrow.
I'd say
if you're a betting person, I'd bet either on Larry or Jerry.
Very good. But not both.
We'll get to at least one of them tomorrow.
Well, very good. Well, that's something right there. And aside from Larry King at Bob Barker's birthday bash, there'll be Chuck Norris, who taught Bob karate long before there was a Walker, Texas Ranger. CBS stars will be there, too, including Ray Romano, Catherine Bell, Ted Danson, and Charlie Sheen.
How about my radio buddies, Don and Mike, Jim Nance?
My radio buddies, Don and Mike, Bob, radio.
It was a great time with the retard with the goofy toofies. Don, you can say what you want to, but that, what did you say about the Ravens game yesterday?
It was utterly mind-boggling.
Utterly mind-boggling. You know, sometimes it's funny to think that we had Nance on the show Friday when most of you guys were buzzed, and I was just...
I wasn't.
I was having a good time watching you guys be buzzed.
Right.
And I was watching Jim Nance on the TV yesterday on CBS,
right,
thinking, here's this serious guy. Ladies and gentlemen, look, it was a big weekend in the NFL. And we were yelling at him about something about the CBS 75th anniversary show and Carol Burnett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all I know is that I plan to be in that condition whenever we have Jim Nance on the show. Just a little warning.
It worked well.
My radio buddies, Don and Mike,
absinthe.
Well, just because you're sleeping with Demi Moore, have a TV show, and youthful good looks does not mean you can act.
Buzz, yes. I still maintain that this is a giant stunt.
You're still holding on to that?
Still a giant stunt for punk.
Well, that may be, but I think this might be real, and acting might be Ashton Kutcher's problem. He was supposed to star with Kirsten Dunst in the latest movie from the guy who wrote Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but now we hear production on the movie's been pushed back from January to later next spring, and Kutcher says he's dropping out because of a scheduling conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood insiders say the real reason is Cameron Crowe was dissatisfied with Kutcher's acting. Quoting a source, Cameron was unhappy with his read-throughs. Ashton did several, and each one was worse. Cameron even thought the readings would get better, but they didn't. At one point, Cameron suggested Ashton take acting lessons. End quote.
Wow. Well, he is kind of a dumb, goofy guy.
Acting claim? What, that 70s show? Is that it?
Dude, Where's My Car? That's it.
Right.
Same guy.
And same kind of career path that Keanu Reeves followed.
Yeah, maybe.
And we all know how well he acted.
And you mentioned the name Cameron. Here's Cameron now.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Now, interesting.
That's not Cameron...
Crowe.
Cameron Gray.
Cameron Gray. And it's interesting they still have that tape around.
And one of them is very successful... And one of them is just within a nun's pubic hair of being fired.
Let me see
if I can guess which is which, Cameron. Never mind, another day.
We'll just have to speculate.
Another day.
Here's what a New York TV station has come up with for the rating suite now underway.
Okay.
Underwear. WCBS says stores, including Victoria's Secret, Saks Fifth Avenue, and Macy's.
WCBS.
CBS.
This company.
All right, I'll join in.
That TV station says Victoria's Secret, Saks, and Macy's are selling used underwear.
Wow!
Oh, wait till you hear.
Ah.
A disgruntled former Victoria's Secret employee told the station his store made it a practice to take back underwear that's been worn to, like, parties and dances and then resell it. Quoting him, I would be disgusted. I knew they were returning something they'd worn to a date or out to a club, and it's like, you want another woman to buy this? The station says it bought and marked with a Sharpie. They put black dots on the label. Marked some thongs and found that the store not only took them back, but immediately put them back on the table.
Ew.
The station says it got the same results at Saks, Macy's, and Bloomingdale's.
You know, the Snoopy sound is still the best for that.
And Snoopy, stick around. A microbiologist says E. coli and yeast and other dangerous bacteria can survive for weeks on lingerie and can easily be transferred.
And now take this out of it for a second, the underwear thing.
All right.
I can't tell you how many times I've been out with my wife shopping in the summertime and she'd say, I need a bathing suit. And now sometimes she'll just go in like to a place and say, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you go put it on.
Right.
And then it doesn't fit.
Right.
And with bathing suits...
You're supposed to put it on over your underwear.
Right.
Oh, okay. See, I wouldn't like know that because I'm not
really.
A girl.
Like, And men and women are supposed to wear underwear before trying on swimwear.
I don't do that when I try on a swimsuit.
Health code thing.
No.
I have a regular drill when I'm buying swimwear. I go to Chili's. I have a large lunch.
Uh-huh.
Then I try on suits that are all too small. And when I'm in the dressing room, I scratch.
Well, I only wear Speedos that ride way up my ass.
Yeah, they're kind of like Speedo thongs.
Yeah.
Right.
Way up my ass.
Right. And then you walk out never buying anything. And of course, the last word always to the checkout person, balls on chin. All this is so foreign to nudists like me.
I understand, Rob.
You look great at the beach.
Thank you. I look like the guy in the game operation.
Quoting the expert, it's pretty likely you're going to get some fecal contamination.
Hey, listen, hello.
Hey, have you ever been in this studio?
That's my neighborhood. That's in my subdivision,
Buzz. It's pretty likely you're going to get some fecal contamination.
Welcome to fecal contamination.
It's a beautiful colonial home and fecal contamination.
Fecal. Actor Richard Gere ambushed presidential candidate Wesley Clark late last week at a campaign fundraiser. Gere showed up in New York to ask the retired general's stand on the death penalty. Quoting Clark, "I don't believe in the death penalty per se, but I do believe we should reserve the right to use it in extreme cases like that of Osama bin Laden." Gere responded, "How can you not believe in the death penalty but reserve that right for certain cases? I believe only God has the right to take it. We as people don't have that right," end quote. The whole room looked very uncomfortable, and then Clark wrapped it up by saying, "We could have a philosophical discussion for hours, but I don't think this is the right venue." Gear then left, and things got comfortable again.
Hey, listen, I don't know nothing about these guys running for president, but I just say, let's keep Richard Gere out of it.
Yeah, what's he doing?
I think that's probably wise.
Yeah, Richard Gere, you know, there are about a million guys other than that guy that he could have talked to.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
The Dalai Lama. His big buddy, the Dalai Lama.
The Lama.
Hey, the Olsen twins are about to turn 18. Actually, it won't happen until next summer.
This little girl has knockers.
They're counting the days because June 13th, the fraternal twins will become co-presidents of their company, Dual Star Entertainment.
I told you before it was fashionable. I think back when my dad first started working in there, I said, when they were at their, like, full house, I said, you wait till those girls turn 18 and we see them in Playboy.
But didn't you also think that they were cute kids, and your philosophy on cute actors is they grow up to be ugly,
and it didn't
happen with them.
No, I disagree. I've seen Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Right, you think they've grown up to be handsome women or not?
I think they got the Vish face.
You think they got too big face?
Yeah, I think they got like pig features almost. No, really, wow. Pig-like
I saw a picture of them in one of the magazines. They look pretty.
I've seen them in pictures where they get dolled up, and you would think, oh, maybe that's like a Britney Spears thing.
Right.
But then when you watch, if you actually watch them on television.
Pig features.
Really? Pig nose?
Well, they're excited about turning 18 next year, and you'd be excited, too.
That was also Rosie O'Donnell's cartoon department when she was mounting that. Pig features.
The company they're about to take over is likely to break the $1 billion mark in gross revenues this year. That includes videos, toys, dolls.
Hey, you know, I don't know which one it is, Ashley or Mary-Kate. One of them actually has hooves. Well, you know,
that's right. But she sings that favorite, that Christmas classic.
Pig's Feet. I'll have a bitty blue Christmas.
Then, yeah, it's official. I sang a Christmas song. Hey.
This will make them more attractive. They're each worth $150 million. Yeah. They say they're just like other kids, complete with household chores, but their friends tell the tabloids they're every bit as freak show as Lisa Marie or Michael Jackson. Oh, well, that can't be. They say armed bodyguards follow them on shopping trips to a swanky mall in Beverly Hills. The girls have been spotted having a nip or two of hard liquor, but they say they will remain virgins until they're married.
Definitely. Hold on, Buzz. I got to tell you, one of the I'm not sure which one it is.
Mary-Kate or Ashley
Mary
Olsen, one of the Olsen twins from Full House.
Here it is, right here, Rob. Why ask you? And I reach back myself. Here they are.
Would you mind helping me?
Yes, Mary-Kate.
See, they're growing up.
You know, you can tell
they're growing up. No, I'm kidding you, Rob. Although you should have seen that one. That's right at eye level.
I'm all wet because I just got a shower. Sorry, I'm not wearing any clothes.
Now, there you go. Mary-Kate Olsen.
Almost 18.
And there it goes. Now, see, it goes back.
Don's putting it back in the rack.
Put it away for another day.
Back in the rack. Back in the rack.
Rob and I got a system for this tape, where I'll turn around and say to him, off mic sometimes, you know, whore tape. Or just a word, just like barker.
Or a touch.
Oh, my God, look at the time. Finally, Dateline. Dateline God's Country, Big Fork Eagle, Montana. Horse owners around Echo Lake are keeping a close eye on their horses. Last week, a cattleman found a totally nude man having intercourse with one of his horses in one of his stables.
Oh, my.
Oh, Wilbur.
The rancher says the man was still nude when he fled on foot. Just days before that, a horse owned by a sheriff's deputy came up missing. It was returned to its stable by Sunday night with, quoting the sheriff, "It appears we have a serial horse rapist."
Oh, my God.
What do you think, Mary-Kate?
Yeah, here's the question I have to ask you.
What's that?
Yeah.
Would you mind taking off your clothes for me?
Oh, stop it.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Great.
That's
it. Wow. That's an ending right there. We'll try to do better tomorrow. Back with the all-new episode. See you then, everybody. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Right. All right, be a dear. Let's go.
BM. Eaters.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.